Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Hey, there's even a bridge! This is great! You can put six packs of soda in here, milk, yogurt, you can put candy bars in the freezer.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Hey, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it? No, I mean, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's ass, but then, no. It's got to be your bull.
Paul Perillo.
I have what doctors call a bit of a weight problem. I used to grab bear claws as a kid, two at a time.
That guy in a little coat. That guy in a little coat.
And Andy. And Andy?
You know where the weight room is?
Andy Hart.
Were you watching Spank Revision? Maybe you were watching a movie with that funny comedian. Oh, what's his name? Buddy Wackett?
Hey, that's a pretty girl down there.
Geez, I wonder if she goes out with one of the Yankees.
Eric Scalavino.
I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
I'm going to make a toast to the best bunch of freaks ever born. Maybe we weren't the smartest guys. Maybe we spent a little too much time puking off balconies. So we had fun, huh?
Yeah! All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We have returned after our huge draft weekend extravaganza. And I just love shows like this because the content just drives the show. There's just so much to talk about. It's not even like you have to think about it. It just flows. And
different than any other show we do.
We'll be doing that for the next 2 hours here on PFW in Progress. 508-543-7482 is the phone number if you want to call in. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com. And we get down here, and there's all this stuff direct from Ireland by way of Mick. And I guess Mick works
Looks
for
good.
Stable Diet, and he sent us a bunch of what they call in Ireland flapjacks. Here, what would they call them?
These look like
granola bars.
Well,
basically,
yeah, these kind of look like the Rice Krispie treats, but
yeah,
with
that you
more
make
of a only with
healthy,
a little bit healthier look.
Right.
And then you've got the what look like the health bars,
right?
You know, like the trail mix health bars.
And then they have toasted breakfast cereal, which is the finest Irish granola.
Yep.
It's wheat free for those. On a non-gluten diet, or gluten-free diet. Mm-hmm. Is that what they call it?
Gluten-free?
Yes.
Yeah.
Gluten-tootin'. thanks, Mick. And he sends, I hope this gets to you and everything's okay and nothing got broke or damaged. Not sure if anyone there will like the stuff, but I was going to buy lunch and thought I'd send some blank over to you instead. Just blank. Make sure everyone reads the labels and all. I don't want anyone eating something that they might be allergic to. The box of flapjacks are nice with a cup of tea or coffee, and the cereal granola is good either with milk or with some yogurt. Let me know when it gets to you and if you like the stuff. If you don't have to plug it on the radio or anything, like I just thought I'd do it for my entertainment. Anyway.
We've reached that point.
No, we will plug it. If you're interested in what Mick sent us.
Stable Diet.
You can go to stablediet.com. And
I say Paul never touches one piece of it.
No, he looked at it and said,
"Way
what?
Too healthy."
He looked
for
at
him.
It and said, "What the hell is this?"
Yeah, there's no red meat in it.
We had to tell him it was health food.
So, as he eats a small cheese pizza,
and now he's
by himself.
Miracle munch.
He's taking over for the hissy fit that I had over draft weekend.
So again,
it's
got to
be a lesbian joke there somewhere.
StableDiet.com, and that's where Mick from Ireland works. And thanks, Mick.
And by the way,
thank you, Mick.
Doc, the sandwich is good, but I did order a meatball parm, not a chicken parm.
Oh.
I just forwarded your email to him.
Speaking of hissy fits.
I mean, when you're expecting
we copy and pasted what you wrote.
When you're
and you can look at what I wrote because it says meatball.
When you're expecting a meatball parm and it turns out to be chicken, that's a big downer.
No, it's not. It's good. I just wanted to.
Yeah, but you're
I wanted that on the record.
You're something. Expecting the beef and you get the chicken.
It's all right.
You wanted big meaty balls.
Wow. Here we go. All right.
Back to this Miracle Munch.
It's a good thing we didn't have, you know, it's content driven. We didn't even have to think about the 2 hours.
All right. Well,
5 minutes in, we're off track.
Obviously, the big news from yesterday was everyone expected it, but still it was
not
big
everybody.
News. Adalys Thomas was
released.
As
reported by Patriots Football Weekly over the weekend.
What? Well, I think everybody was saying.
On the show this weekend, no. We said by Monday at 4, he'd be an expatriate.
Greg Kurse, Andy
the release came out at 4:30.
Okay. All right.
Why
Where's Eric
there?
In that? Cut it off a second earlier. We don't even want the puh.
But, yeah, Adalys Thomas is gone. And, you know.
To the surprise of some players on this team.
Really?
Yeah, this a-hole, and I'm going to call him an a-hole.
Pointing at Eric.
Ask James Sanders about it, and
I did not ask for the guy's
nobody
reaction.
Can talk to James Sanders but Andy.
And no.
We offered
the guillotine.
We offered. He backed out. But
you led him to the guillotine. You set him up like an MF-er.
Somebody had to ask him. It's a natural question.
The guy on the team gets cut.
He gets cut because he
said some things about Adalys Thomas. I'm coming for you.
He said good things.
About Adalys Thomas. That's not a wise decision right now.
Well, I think, you know, it's okay.
Tell him what he said. He said it did kind of take him by surprise. AD is a great guy, great leader, great friend. He tried to call him yesterday, but left a message. Couldn't get in touch.
He's on the phone with Shalise.
Well done.
And, you know, he could kind of understand that the personalities weren't exactly the right fit between AD and some of the coaches on the staff.
Right.
So he just kind of wished him well, but, you know, had positive things to say. Said he was a friend, said he'll keep in touch and see what happens.
Well, you know, it's over. We knew, all safe bets said that he wasn't going to be a contributor this year. So that's done. Now the Patriots move on. Adalys Thomas moves on. And whatever happens, happens. There is a report from the Newark Star-Ledger that said the Jets are interested in Adalys Thomas, but the Daily News says it would be doubtful.
Yeah, not likely to sign him at this point.
Yeah.
Was the last thing I saw.
So
he'll find a job.
He'll catch on somewhere.
Because of money concerns? Like they don't have enough space to sign him? Or
I don't think the Jets have a spot for him, to be honest with you. They signed Jason Taylor. I don't know where you play him.
Their one theory is that Golston's been moved to end, whatever the
And they just redid his contract too, right?
Golston. Oh, they did?
I believe Golston got his contract reworked. But
I heard the report they were reworking it.
Well, okay, they are in the process.
We're going to stop paying you now.
Basically.
You stopped working for us on day one.
Yeah. So we'll see where he ends up. It could be anywhere, really. He's from the South. Is that right? Where
yes.
From?
Hattiesburg.
Mississippi.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure some
Fred develops a really tight bond with Patriots. He's from the South.
What's wrong
I
with
think?
Your voice?
I don't know.
Banana in the tailpipe?
What's the matter with
it? It's like it had
well
that
done,
bubble.
Eric.
So it was the banana in the tailpipe voice that Gary used to always play?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now, what were you saying?
It's impressive the bond that you create with the players as they come through. He's from the South, I think. I don't know. Like, you have no idea where he's from?
Well, I mean, you know, what's the big deal?
I mean, not that I know where every Patriot is from, but he had a lot of charity stuff and things that he hosted down in Mississippi and was kind of in the news recently about that.
So, you know, scold me.
No, I just thought it was,
you know, geez.
I just think it's amazing how you're able to turn the page so quickly.
I said he was.
It never ceases to amaze me, as a matter of fact.
Well, are you mourning?
No, but it's just amazing that one day a guy can be on your team and a hero, and the next he's dead. It's amazing to me.
This has been a prolonged sickness, a prolonged illness. I mean, we've had time to prepare for this, Paul. This isn't a sudden death.
Look, I don't think the guy can play. That's the only reason why I'm, you know, not upset that he's back from day one. I don't think he was the guy that he was purported to be.
Okay.
We signed a $35 million player, and he never even came close to living up to that.
I don't know. He's from Mississippi. He's saying he can't play, so who's cut ties quicker?
Well, a lot of people have been saying he can't play for a while.
If quicker is November of 2007, then you're right. I'm quick to cut ties.
All right. Wow. So, okay. You knew back then.
Me and Andy were on it from day one. Andy said it was a total waste of a year playing him an inside linebacker. But all of a sudden we saw him play during preseason and into the season, and we were like, this is the guy? $35 million?
But
this is the guy?
I thought 07 was his best year.
And that's what Bill said.
Yeah.
The end of it, at least.
Yeah.
When he got to play outside. These flapjacks are good.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Yeah?
What are they like
are
anything?
Are they chewy or crunchy?
Chewy.
Chewy. Oh.
It's like a, I mean, it's like not far from being a cookie taste. It's got a little sweetness to it, an oatmeal cookie type
thing.
Up.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
A lot of calories, though.
Really?
Oh.
I'm not worried about that. I'm not like you.
That's not good.
I eat.
All right.
I'm not trying to get skinny.
So Paul is mourning
the
departure of Adalys
Job
Thomas.
Interview.
I've cut ties.
Wow, there's three ingredients: jumbo oat flakes, brown cane sugar, and butter. I wonder why it tastes like
I'm guessing it's the sugar and the
too
butter.
Too many calories from the guy on the other side of the glass who evidently couldn't polish off a small pizza by himself, by the way.
Why?
Well, he was criticizing, you know, small pizza that I was eating all by myself. Like, normally you share small pizzas
bitch.
With people. You know, I don't know. Is that
I was
a thing?
Just saying
it's like the size of two slices.
What's with the tie today?
They had a thing today.
Oh.
Draft party.
Good luck.
Draft recap.
All right. That's
for who?
For the premium seating people.
Why was I not invited? I generally speak at these engagements. Why was I not on the...
You've been big-timed.
What does that mean?
Nick Casario's headlining.
Ooh. Ooh, headlining. What is this, Vegas? All right.
I won't take shots.
As far as draft news goes... there was a report today that came out about Aaron Hernandez explaining why he might have dropped with marijuana use since going back to 2008. Not a big deal.
Oh, I thought you said hemp.
No,
at first.
I mean, he did pass the combine drug test, so we're not sure if this is, you know, according to the unnamed sources, it's multiple times during college that he's failed tests.
But I like the fact that he's not an idiot.
No.
He may be a drug user, but I think guys that fail it at the combine are just flat out idiots.
You have plenty of time to prepare for
you
that.
You know what's coming. You know what you need to do. Don't be an idiot. Don't cost yourself more than you've already cost yourself in other drug tests.
Right.
And India will tell you, all it takes is a little Tide.
Yeah.
Little Tide on the end of the finger.
Yeah.
But
so,
Fred.
I don't understand why you wouldn't just do that.
I know it's all factually accurate, but the above the fold top headline, Hernandez has history of drug use. Just
right. It's a little
it's
bit.
It's true, but it makes it sound worse than it is.
Well, look, it's the biggest dirt that they've been able to, you know, dig up in a long time, so they made the most of it. And
they've lost readers faster than any paper in the country over the last
they
year.
They have. We're talking about the Globe. You know.
Yes. According to the headlines I saw this morning, much, well, not much faster, but significantly faster, I guess much and significantly are kind of the same, than the Herald, and atop the list, a 23% down.
They just dropped out of the top 25 daily newspapers in the country.
Dropping like a stone.
Yeah. I mean, the Globe used to be, I think, in the top five. So.
Why is Paul Perillo pulling a Ray Rice and walking around with his fingers in the sky?
Anyway.
They gave you guys a nice shout-out with that story on EEI this morning. Said that Patriots Football Weekly is probably the only publication whose subscription numbers are going up.
That's right.
Really?
So,
who wants to know?
So, what was I talking about?
Nothing important.
Content-driven.
Hernandez. Yeah. So, you know, it's not that he tried to hide it. At the Combine, every team that he talked with, he talked about, you know, what his history with marijuana.
Which explains the slip.
Right. So,
yeah, and in the draft.
I mean, I think, as Andy pointed out, him not being... not testing positive at the combine, at least it shows you that he has some common sense. There was nothing to hide. It wasn't in question. It was a fact. He had failed drug tests at Florida, so it wasn't like he could say, no, I didn't.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of, you know, as Felger always says, that's fact, not opinion.
Right.
So they weren't fishing to find out if he had any drug issues.
No, but without asking,
he
admitted it. That's what one of the sources said, that, you know, at least he, you know, came right out and said it. He was smart to do that. That's what, you know.
He volunteered the information.
Well, he didn't make any example. I don't think he made any stories up. He just took responsibility for it, and that's always the best way to do it, meet it head on.
Right.
And I agree with Andy. I thought, look, the story, I think, is it's a good story in terms of from the newspaper angle. It's a good job of reporting. No one else had it. It's a good job by Bert. I just thought it was overplayed a little bit. You know, front page of the Globe sports section, top of the fold. And I know that you don't care about anything but Patriots, Freddie, but the Bruins did not team out of the playoffs last night. They advanced the series. That's the lead story of your local sports section today. And for them to have,
when you have a scoop, though, news organizations have a tough time not
front page,
making a big
fine,
deal of
just
it.
It's not that big a story.
Well, and then
I know,
not that
but big a deal.
The fact that they were the only ones that had it.
Then you look at yesterday's coverage, Monday's coverage after the draft. Barely anything about the draft. And now they get this story, they put it above the fold. So it's sensationalist journalism.
A little hypocritical.
I think you got to write it.
Is that what you're saying? That they didn't devote time to the draft?
Yeah,
but then
they're looking for the big bang, and they're not there to serve readers. They're there, to sensationalize it.
That's good because there's no readers there to serve.
Right. But anyway, so I'm assuming that, the Patriots did their due diligence and they knew all about this and this is not a surprise to them and they feel that he's got it under control. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead if you want.
But the biggest story I thought in reading all this stuff was one of the sources, I think it was an NFL GM, said that about a third of the kids coming out of college have something going on with marijuana.
Yeah,
which tells
surprising.
You it's probably more like half then.
If they know that of at least a third, it's probably more likely.
Yeah, so
a higher number.
You know,
I think the fact that he slipped where he did and the Patriots got him actually helps him career-wise just based on the type of player he is. Mm-hmm. I don't think even though he won the Mackey Award and he's a good receiver, I don't think he comes into your team and is your number one go-to pass catching blocking, do everything tight end. I think the fact that he came to this team and then they drafted Gronkowski earlier, and now he maybe has a chance to be that complementary secondary H-back type, can take more advantage of his skills and probably will help his career more than if he went to a team where they expected him to be the number one guy at tight end. So maybe in a weird way, this is a silver lining for him.
Yeah. I mean, we're all intrigued. We always get this way after the draft where you just want to see these guys go out there and start playing. Now you read all the reports. You read all the
Why are you so confused right now?
Guys, like slapping.
John Henderson's letting
the
trainer slap something. The first time you've seen that.
The first time I've ever seen it.
Oh my God!
Not on the Patriots.
He's such an idiot. Been well publicized for years.
What, John Henderson being slapped in the
by
face
by the
before
trainer
games?
Before the game? Yeah, you've never seen that?
No, I've never seen that. So, what was I talking about?
You want to see the players play or something.
Yeah, now we're all anxious to see what these guys can do out in the field. And it's a big waiting game until training camp. And
well, we'll actually get a taste.
Yeah, but they don't even suit up for this, right?
Well, they have helmets, but nothing else. No pads.
Yeah.
Naked with helmets on?
No. Speaking of which, Freddie, we got some unofficial reports of undrafted rookie free agents being signed. About a half dozen of them, including another PFW prediction, Andy.
Bubba 2.0, Russ Ventrone.
5'8", 200-pound safety from Villanova, like his brother. A little tree stump of
a
player.
Shorter, too.
Well, kind of the same kind of fire hydrant type body type, though. But a guy that I liked, and I think Paul did, too.
Probably not.
Paul's never seen him.
Pat Pascal, North Dakota State running back.
I didn't see him. Andy's
didn't
right.
see him? Okay. 6 feet, 206. I like the way he ran. Andy didn't, so we're kind
40.
Of feuding.
I mean, what?
And waiting to see how that works out.
I love the scouting reports. I've read scouting reports on him, 4'6", 940, whatever, but looks faster than that on tape. And why? Paul, why did I say I didn't want him?
I have no idea.
Because he's slightly better. You know why he looks faster on tape?
Because
all those
play,
linebackers are running 5'0", like Brandon Spikes, but...
Yeah. At a lower level, you're going to look faster than the guys that are chasing you.
He's slightly better than the Jags that he played with and against.
Here's one that I think fans are going to be intrigued by. Central Michigan receiver Brian Anderson, listed at 6'5", 214.
Wow.
Big body size.
Does he play big, though?
Don't know. He was one of the favorite targets of Dan LaFever, the Central Michigan quarterback that the Bears drafted.
So I got a LaFever.
He wasn't even the favorite target?
And the only prescription.
Is
he wasn't the only target, no. Oof. Montana
even
State.
Got the best Central Michigan receiver.
Well, Montana State defensive end Dane Fletcher, little guy, kind of a Dwight Freeney type, 6'1", 245.
What the hell is he going to play?
Notre Dame safety Sergio Brown.
Hey, we got a Sergio.
Maybe not the one we wanted. 6'2", 205, pretty decent size for a safety. Obviously, the Corwin Brown connection from Notre Dame probably helped out a little bit. No, the connection, coaching-wise. I don't know if they're related. At all. Mississippi State D lineman Kyle Love, 6'2", 305.
I love this signing.
You do?
Are you
really
going to do this the whole rest of the show?
That's funny. And according to the Herald, I haven't seen this anywhere else, but according to the Herald, they're also interested.
This is Freddie's favorite pick.
In another wrestler slash football player,
right.
Couldn't care less.
John Wise.
Yep.
Who
that's
transferred.
A wise pickup.
He really is going to do it the whole rest of the show.
Is that it?
I don't know.
You have one flapjack from Ireland, and now it's worse than a 5-hour energy.
Those flapjacks were very good.
So butter and the brown sugar.
Haven't heard anything about our guy Jason Vega from Brockton.
No?
No. Haven't seen his name anywhere. You had mentioned before the draft.
What about my guy from Tufts?
I don't know.
Just a Mepini.
What did he do to you?
I don't know. Can you look him up? The Tufts safety. It'll probably be on their website, tufts.edu, athletics.
Go Bows.
Oh, and we should probably tell the listeners about the little video item that you found.
Oh,
about
Taylor Price. Tremendous five-minute video package.
That's a good call, Eric.
Ohio. Andy has fallen in love.
But our fans will also fall in love with
Taylor Price, but with the guy who made this video.
Whoever does Bobcats TV is tremendous. Blows Brian Lowe out of the water. He puts together
a package. He blames it on Brian
Lowe. I mean, the video production is great. The highlights they use, one of those NFL films like where they zoom in on the ball and then follow it through the trajectory to the player. They were at his home when he got the call from the Patriots. The audio you can actually hear at one point, Bill, through, I guess, his mic on the cell phone, you know, congratulating him. It's a very cool package.
I think it was an iPhone.
I think it actually was an iPhone.
Yeah.
Nice package.
Which is amazing. Apparently in Ohio you can get service on the iPhone. Not New England. Once again, we should tell everyone that Fred broke out his iPhone on draft weekend, tried to use the app that you play a song and it tells you what the song is, and not surprisingly, it didn't work.
Well, I also looked up on the internet. No one knows what that song is. It's the song that Gatorade's playing. It's like a little folksy song. So if anyone knows the name of that song, Andy's looking for the name of the song. He likes it.
What a loser.
He wants to download it to his pod. What is it called?
Do you have an iPod?
iPod.
I have an iPod. I have an old one.
I have an iPod, too.
Good.
So we've reached that point in the show
where
we ran out of content.
Couldn't download a song with a gun to my head.
All right, webradio@patriots.com. We get a lot of emails.
Oh, boy. I got a question for you, Fred. Since you're the one who's always, you know, there's always players available and we'll be fine and everything good comes after June 1 and all that. Who's going to start it out? What's that face for?
Like you're being set up like him?
Who's going to start it outside linebacker?
Right now?
Yeah.
September 9th.
I'm not sure.
It might not even be 14. 12.
Are the two players who will start at outside linebacker currently on the roster?
It's a good question.
No.
If not, where are they?
One of them is, one of them is not.
And who's the other
Tully one? Tully is the one that is.
Yes. I have no idea who the one is not.
Wow.
But I can't imagine Pierre Woods and or Rob Ninkovich is going to start.
And or Jermaine Cunningham?
No.
Is there any chance, and I know we've talked about this before, but just for edification,
the question
that there's an
the
existing
show.
Inside guy that could be moved outside?
No.
Gary Guyton is the guy that a lot of fans think. But
I would have no
confidence in that. At 245 pounds-ish, and I think that's stretching.
I'm not sure he has long arms.
I don't think that's a good fit. I love Gary Guyton in a part-time role. Sub-packages where his speed can be put to use. You can blitz him a little bit. You can have him run underneath in zones and kind of stop those crossing routes that have been somewhat damaging to the Patriots over the last couple of years. I think it's an every-down guy, especially outside, but both inside and outside. I don't think he can hold up. I don't think he's quite big. There's not a fit for him in a 3-4. I think as a 4-3 weak side guy,
sure.
I think he would work. I don't think there's a great fit for him in a 3-4.
It's funny. His bio is going to look like he fell off the map. It's kind of like Brady when we say, yeah, he really struggled to knock the rust off, but won player of the week the first week and player of the month the first month on paper, when in actuality it didn't look like that. Gary Guyton's going to go from starting 16 games to potentially, if Brandon Spice can play, starting 0 nine. Or 2. His tackles will go from 97 or whatever it is to 70, but we may say he had a much better year. Well, no, I think he'll play on third down, and you'll say he was very good in the role that they had for him.
He might have, you know.
He had a better year. He had more of an impact on the team.
Less exposed.
Yes. Instead of 50 tackles or 60 tackles, he might make 20, but they all prevent first downs on third down.
Kind of like a linebacker version of Jarvis Green, better as a spot duty player than
or even
a full-time
Faulk.
Starter.
I mean, he's got some athleticism. I think he's made for passing downs. he might be an impact guy as long as he's not out there.
And
all
by the
time.
Way, this is provided, and we're making a little bit of a leap here, but we talked about it on Sunday, I think. No, Saturday, the last day of the draft. The three-man rotation that I think potentially exists mm-hmm. an inside linebacker. Andy brought up the old 3-for-2 that we used to always talk about with Bill, with Tyrone McKenzie, Brandon Spikes alongside Mayo. I think potentially that could work, but there's a lot of stuff that has to happen before we can put that, you know, in
right.
pen.
Right.
I mean, McKenzie, we have not seen play a down, and Brandon Spikes obviously has just been drafted.
Right.
So to just put them in there over Gary Guyton is probably a little premature at this point. But it come training camp and into September, I think that's what the hope needs to be.
And the hope and the hope was and may still be that Sean Crable could take that outside job.
No one has hope of that.
Oh,
anymore.
You know what? I didn't give that a thought. That's true. So I suppose he could potentially be on the roster.
I will be shocked.
No freaking way.
If he gets any playing time at all,
I'm with Eric.
Yeah.
The Crable error has ended.
Well, if he doesn't, then that's it for him.
Yes, it is it for him. He and Wheatley are out.
Yeah.
And Slater. I'm cutting, guys. What's today?
So you don't put any
April 27th.
You don't put any chance that he's been legitimately hurt.
I think he's been hurt. I think he's still hurt based on what he has said.
But I don't think he's a reliable player.
And I don't think he's
definitely not a – no, you're 1,000% right. He's not a reliable player after not having played a down in 2 years.
But he hasn't always been hurt. He's practiced some. He's been in preseason games.
He's done nothing to impress.
Right. So you combine that with always hurt, nothing to impress – there's nothing there.
And you look at his frame.
Thanks for playing.
And you say, but how can this guy be good against the run? You know,
he's big.
Will you stop with the frame?
He's a big dude. Well, if you met him in an alley, you would run like a screaming little biznitch.
Well,
he's a big dude.
But I mean, it's not like when we saw him play.
Right. As long as he had baggy sweatpants on, you'd run.
Right.
Otherwise, you'd kick him in the shin and laugh at him.
No, but my point, I think he does have small legs. I think you guys are right. But it's not like we saw him play in practice and he gets blasted off the line of scrimmage. And we said, well, geez, he just doesn't have any base. He has nothing to hold him up. But he can't. He hasn't shown the ability to really be on the field at all. You know, I don't really know why or what the limitations are, but he just hasn't done anything. He hasn't shown us anything. Terrence Wheatley has been on the field and kind of shown to me that he's not that good. Crable hasn't.
It's true.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Right.
He also hasn't shown anything that he's good.
Absolutely not.
Right. So there are a lot of questions, you know, on the team.
About that position in particular.
Yeah.
Because even defensive end, where there's a hole, theoretically, you have at least four or five names in Pryor, Wright, Warren, and Lewis that I think are, you might have the answer in that group. As we just said, it seems unanimous. We're not really sure that there's an answer at outside linebacker in the group. Like, you need to add somebody.
Yeah.
And
time's kind of running out to
right.
add somebody,
We're getting
though.
Closer and closer to the time where you go, I don't know. You know, Mike Vrabel, I saw some speculation on Pats fans that he was now going to be cut, which I think is
again?
Weird because they signed him to an extension in the offseason. But where are you going to get this guy? OCU Mignora? Paul wants him? Did you want him? Just almost swallowed the cup.
No, I don't think he's I think he's a guy that you kick the tires on, but I don't think he's a perfect fit either. It's like 260, I think he's like 260 pounds. I don't know if he could play. I mean, he's played 7 years in the league, all as a 4-3 rushing end. I don't know if you can just ask a guy like that. Julius Peppers was an elite athlete playing that spot, and you could say, I'll take my shot trying to move him to outside linebacker. Umanure is not that guy. He's been a solid pass rusher, but don't forget, he lost his job last year. I'm not sure that you just automatically
put some
translate.
Step up on all the guys that.
No, like I said, I would definitely kick. This is one of those that I would be on the fan side. I would be in Bill. I trust if Bill looks at a guy like this and says, "I think there's something I can work with there. I think I might be able to find a spot for him." I'd be willing to kick the tires and give it a shot. But on paper, when I look at Umanure, I'm not sure that he fits as an outside linebacker, and I'm definitely sure he doesn't fit as a 3-4 end. Now, if you do the more four-man fronts that we've been talking about that they did a lot of last year, maybe that's how you get around it. Maybe you put him, as Andy likes to say, with his hand on the ground, and you put
hand
him
on the ground.
Put him on a 4-3 at end.
The
but I don't think there's a perfect fit for him in a 3-4.
How about Greg Ellis?
If the Patriots went to a 4-3,
I'd take Greg Ellis.
Yeah. Me too.
If
a they're not going to a 4-3.
If they did, when they do, who plays the mic, Mayo or spikes.
Well, I think to start, at least Mayo would get that honor.
Yeah,
I mean, he was past rookie of the year. He's a captain. It's kind of hard to say, all right, you're going on the bench.
I mean, I think Mayo has the versatility. He could play outside in a 4-3.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
If your best group is having him on the field with Spikes, can't. He doesn't have the speed, in my opinion. I think Mayo has the speed.
Oh, God, yeah, no.
I think that would be
yeah.
potentially the way you'd go is have Spikes in the middle because he's a leader. Certainly seems to have the football IQ, intelligence, all that crap. And
if Spikes
Mayo
turns out to be what we think he is, I would rather have him in the middle anyway. Because I think
sure.
in a 4-3, I think he's more of a...
Well, his option is middle or off the field.
No
his option isn't playing outside.
But I mean, I'd rather have him over Mayo as a 4-3 Mike and have Mayo on the outside. I totally agree with you. There's no way Spikes
that.
Could go outside.
So I think Mayo is a sideline-to-sideline guy.
Well, this is all predicated on the fact that Spikes can play.
Right.
Again, not having seen him play one down of NFL football.
Freddie.
This is predicated on the fact that he has ability.
Cade Weston, the 7th-round pick, defensive tackle out of Georgia.
Yeah.
6'5", 327 pounds, and a 4.96 40, which puts him nearly a tenth of a second faster than Brandon Spikes, your middle linebacker, at 150 pounds heavier and 5 inches taller.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, Belichick sounded like he was really dismissing that 40 time.
He was.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Fully aware of it, but dismissing it.
I dismiss it, too. We talked about it when it happened, that he was going to be a Patriot because of it, that his football film is good. But you can dismiss it all you want. At some point, he goes on the field, and 10 games in, you say, well, maybe we shouldn't have dismissed that 40 time.
We did a whole one of our Wednesday podcasts was basically when we talked about linebackers. That was the whole thing. This guy's 40 time was so bad, the Patriots just jumped into play for this guy. Because originally, not because the Patriots are into bad 40 times, Fred, but because this is gonna slow him down. Well, Fred kind of laughed. I didn't.
We're
mean
the anti Raiders.
Yeah,
the slower it goes, the more.
Thought that you take him out of that late first, early second kind of area, and he slides way down.
Because if you remember at the time, some people said all of a sudden he's a
fifth round pick originally.
Which he wasn't, but
he slid down to, and then he kind of worked his way back up as the weeks. Led up to the draft.
Maybe every other team had him as a fifth-round pick.
So I thought that put him in serious play for the Patriots because I don't think they would have had a chance to draft him had he run like a 4.8. I don't think the Patriots get him where they got him.
But the issue you're talking about here is, yes, his film looks great at Florida because it's at Florida. He knew the defense. He knew college football. He knew the reads. So everything was he's very football intellectually sound, so he's quick. Gerard Mayo said last year or now he's just starting to get to the point where he can play and not think. Well, Gerard Mayo was fast. He ran a 4.55. So he's got a full half a second faster to play with there.
Right.
If Brandon Spikes struggles to make his reads, know the defense, know his role, and is slow, he's dead. He's a dead duck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
No,
that's an issue.
That's
and
a great
now
point.
Maybe he'll get the time to develop and get to that point, because I do believe if he's put in position where he is comfortable and makes his reads and knows the defense, I think he can play in the NFL. I don't think the speed will keep him from playing, but it might take a little time to get there. You could say that about a lot. Maybe Freddie Roach, the guy who was slow out Alabama.
I was going to
maybe had he been given a year, two as a second round pick to develop, maybe the speed that he lacked wouldn't have been an issue. But because he was undrafted, right? Undrafted or seventh?
Undrafted.
Because he was undrafted, you're in and out. You don't get that.
And by the way, a very similar kind of guy, Freddie Roach, to Spikes, from an SEC program at Alabama with a great pedigree and was one of those great college players.
I think he actually had a better 40 time.
Wasn't quite as accomplished as Spikes.
No.
Okay? But he was a pretty good player at Alabama. And I remember one day we were watching training camp, and Andy actually, he just started laughing. He's like, oh, my God.
Thanks.
And he was just watching.
Sure, it wasn't Eric who did it?
How slow the first. No, it was definitely Andy. And I was watching how slow Roach got off the ball. And he actually pointed out, he said, don't watch anything, just watch Roach. And he stood there, and how long. It was it probably was only like a second, but it seemed like an eternity from the time the ball was snapped to the time he actually made his decisive first move.
Right.
And it was part instincts, and it was part just kind of the thought process.
Ball in tall grass.
Of going off. You could see him actually thinking.
Right. Just to be clear
before
now.
Before he was moving.
In a 3-4, what's the role of the inside backer next to Mayo? What would be his role as compared to Mayo's role?
Well, they're very similar. I mean, there's a strong side, weak side a lot
of the
time. Is there
one guy that's more upper?
One guy would serve as a mic.
Well, theoretically, if you're the strong side guy, the tight end's on that side, there's more chance for people to block down on you. That's the strength of the offense. But I think they're kind of somewhat interchangeable.
That's how I always thought of it, but they made a big deal out of it. Not they, the Patriots, but a lot of media guys last year made a big deal out of so-and-so playing the mic inside. You know,
right,
and I don't know. To me,
especially in today's day and age with all the motion and changing,
those two guys seem to take on a lot of the same responsibilities from a layman like me. I don't know exactly.
Yeah,
Andy played linebacker at the collegiate level, so.
I think it's overrated at times.
Yeah, but Andy played in a
Bose.
In a 5-2.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you play in a 5-2?
It was a 50. 50, cover 2. 50. Tap, tap on the head was the old cover 2. Calling in the signals.
No, tap, tap on the head was, you're out.
Now, were you the guy on the sideline that had to actually tap in the signals to the to the guy who was playing?
No.
No?
Told you I played
it's not
early
a long leap
on.
From tapping here, Paul.
Late in the career, I didn't play.
Shying away from contact.
he was one of those guys on the edge of the pile, you know, just kind
of
like.
You've recovered a lot of fumbles.
Hopping around out there.
You've recovered a lot of fumbles.
Not enough.
He'd jump on the pile at the end of the play.
So what happened to your collegiate career?
I mean, why
did you play a lot early and then they moved on?
So it's a long story. We don't need to get into it.
Well, we have time.
He was basically like an Adalys Thomas at Tufts. He was very outspoken.
I was channeling Fred a little bit right there.
No. There are probably some similarities to the tales.
Gee, I'm shocked.
An outspoken linebacker who clashed with the coach?
Web radio.
Except I wasn't playing for Bill Belichick.
may not be in meetings right now.
I was playing for 3-3.
They're in the defensive huddle. He's making poopy jokes. web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. We've got a lot of emails, and we're going to get to them right after this.
When the boss says it.
For those that want Patriot Talk with other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So, basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto-reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun, back of... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio, back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted,
what?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You got it?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America NA member PIC. Copyright 2005, Bank of America Corporation.
The 75th NFL Draft may be over, but the Patriots Pro Shop has everything to get you geared up for the 2010 season. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots gear anywhere, including many items that you can't get anywhere else. Be the first to get the 2010 Draft hat that you saw the NFL's newest players wear on draft day at the Patriots Pro Shop.
Can't get to the stadium? Log on to PatriotsProShop.com and get your Pats merchandise directly from the source. You'll know it's authentic when you purchase from PatriotsProShop.com because your item will be shipped directly from Gillette Stadium. With a huge selection of Patriots items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Patriots Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open year-round Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room. Now's your chance. Hit up the PFW guys at 508-543-7482 or email webradio@patriots.com.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. As promised, we're going to get right to the emails and phone calls. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. And on the phone right now is Anthony from Naples. Anthony. Hey. Hello?
Apparently he's not on the phone.
All right, Doc. Where is he?
Uh-oh. He's got that look on his face.
He always, does have that stupid
always,
look on his
he
face.
He always gets mad because I don't change, you know, I don't check this little IM thing he's got. So right now it says Anthony in Naples is back on the phone. I go to it. He's not
there.
He was
back on the when we're in the break, but
maybe he had something to do.
Okay, well, anyway.
You know, the pool business is it's quick. It's always moving. It's always changing.
Phone lines are open at 508-543-7482. Let's go to an email. This is
phone lines.
Chris. Truth in advertising? I'd take that
Chris
S
from
off.
Toronto. Hey, Paul, Andy, F-bomb Fred, and I think that's everyone. First of all.
A-hole.
First of all.
That's actually from Jonathan in Foxborough.
I'd just like to express my annoyance that it will be the Bears and not the Patriots who will be playing the Bills here in Toronto this season.
Me too.
Talk about a snooze fest. On to business. Technical difficulties and profanity aside, you guys did an awesome job covering the draft. While I'm certain that the debate and dissection is far from over, I understand that the Patriots have two picks in each of the first two rounds of next year's draft. Unless it's too early to tell, how deep does that draft look, and are there any Sergio Kindle-type players you already have your eyes on? P.S. I understand that Belichick and Eric had a small verbal dust-up the other day. I assume this happened during a press conference.
Yes.
But can you please provide the juicy details?
Eric good bitch slapped. Eric good bitch
Eric
slapped.
Simply asked, he wanted to know how difficult a decision it was between Carlos Dunlap and the guy they eventually took.
No.
Cunningham.
And Dunlap
right.
Following selection.
Right.
And you know,
well, you said
right.
Eventually took like they skipped over Dunlap and eventually took Cunningham.
No, Fred was right.
After they took Cunningham
after
first.
After the decision, I meant. After
I know. Fred was.
They had the opportunity to take either
was,
one. They
right.
decided to
Fred
take Cunningham. Wrong. How tough was that decision?
No,
you're an idiot, Eric. Bill said.
Yeah, I mean, most people thought that Carlos Dunlap was the higher rated player, on pretty much every board, every mock draft. He was the higher rated player, but the Patriots decided to take the other guy. So I just want to ask the natural question that any common sense, normal thinking person would want to know, which is how difficult a decision was it? How close were the two on your board? That's all. Especially considering that the very next pick, Dunlap went to, the Bengals?
I think he probably thought you were going to ask something else.
Yeah, well, then maybe next time he should wait until the question is asked before he starts answering.
Wow.
Like a normal human being would do.
Wow.
It's true.
I mean, really, there's no place for that. There's no place being disrespectful. I mean, we work for the same organization.
Wow.
There's really no excuse for it.
Do you really?
You guys,
not for long.
Get a little quiet over here. Thanks.
All right.
You
well,
know,
that,
you know what's funny? I am 100% on board with Eric based on what happened because he totally didn't listen to his question and he answered something that was totally different. And not only he did that, but he did it in a very snarky, sarcastic way. But as you're explaining it, you make it very difficult for people to jump on board with you. I'm on your side, and yet you're taking shots at me. Like any rational follower of the draft would want to know, like, why didn't anybody else ask this no-brainer question?
No, I wasn't taking shots at you.
Oh, yeah. There was an element of... It was,
no, I'm
it,
taking it was, shots at the guy who's...
It was ridiculous that no one else asked this question.
No. That's all right,
that's
then.
The way,
all right, I'm sorry,
then.
I'm sorry. That's completely not what I was
intending
to
I actually got you, Eric. The tone was intended for one person and one person only, the head
girl.
Coach of the NEP.
No,
thank you.
I think Eric is absolutely right.
Stay strong, Eric.
The question was... No, he's right. The question is, okay, we know that you took Cunningham over Dunlap. Was it a tough choice?
Right.
That's what the question was. He never even allowed it to come out.
And he ignored you twice.
He ignored you the first time when he cut you off and said, you know, well, Dunlap was the MVP and Cunningham was just good and went off in this whole rant. And then
we know that you obviously thought really, that we took Cunningham was better. You took him. But was it close? Was it a tough choice? That's all. Or to you, was it a no-brainer that didn't even deserve though, being based on his sarcastic?
I'll tell you who he thinks the no-brainer is.
Well, I don't think if
the
that
guy
was
who
the
asked
case,
the question based
I don't
on
think
the
you
tone
could say that because then you, now you're down, you're kind of diminishing Dunlap. So you really can't say, oh, it was easy. You know,
well, that's what he ended up doing. Basically, it was diminishing Dunlap because he dismissed
he did, really.
Him.
Yeah,
he said he said Dunlap got all the accolades. Cunningham was the player. That's basically in a nutshell.
Right.
What he said.
Obviously, he was the player because we took him. You idiot.
I never said that.
And I apologize, Paul.
And I'm just busting your chops. I actually think Cunningham for the Patriots made more sense. I think Cunningham is a better fit for what the Patriots wanted to do. On film, I thought Dunlap was the better player. But I'm not. I think for the Patriots' purposes, Cunningham was more of a fit in that, you know, that 6'4", 4'6", thing that we really have fixated on since last year. I think he has the opportunity to better sort of fit into that with the athleticism and the speed and hopefully turns into the all-around game and can play outside linebacker. I think he's more of a candidate to do so. I think it'll take him some time to make that switch, that adjustment. I don't think that he is quite as NFL-ready as, you know, some of the, you know, like a Kindle would have been, provided that he were healthy.
TG and NJ, thanks, guys, for your excellent coverage of the draft. Great job by everyone. You too, Squidward. A few things. Andy and Squidward, do you guys have the breakdown of how you did in your mock draft versus Kiper, McShay, Mayock, and Goose in Dallas?
I think you blogged about it.
I did. We had 10.5 correct, the half being Ryan Matthews to the Chargers, wrong slot, but right team and player. And we tied McShay, I believe, and beat everybody else.
For the most part, I didn't
check
them all.
Nice job, Andy.
Well, the ones that we had in the paper.
We blew them out of the water in the paper. I'm actually comparing our mock draft as of April 6th or whatever it is to their mock drafts the day of the draft.
Yeah, McShay's was the day of.
Yeah. If you compare it to McShay's back in early April, we blow him out. They all were like 3 picks, 4 picks, and we were at 10.5. We blew them out of the water. It wasn't even a race.
And the thing that makes it, I think, more impressive what Eric and Andy did is that we don't have the opportunity to get on the phone and call decision makers. GMs around the league.
Well, you can call them. They just won't talk to you.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
And especially as a Patriots Football Weekly guy, I mean, Ozzie Newsome. What's that again now? Oh,
the secretary
sure,
would hang up on us.
They're all assuming that we're
I've tried it. Remember when I used to try to go with PFW and they'd say, now what does that stand for again?
Yeah.
Football Weekly.
Football Weekly. What's the P stand for?
Football Weekly.
Pompous when Eric
Ted Johnson used to say. But that actually is a tact that I learned from Tom Curran, who used to work for the Metro West Daily News.
Who's as shady as they come.
And he used to call and say, it's Tom Curran from the Daily News.
The Daily News.
Which was accurate, but not real.
You're quoting Billy Joel songs, I've noticed.
Billy Joel.
Anyway, TG says, if you guys did just as well or better, then it's time to introduce the rest of the NFL world to the power, fortitude, and just plain awesomeness of the PFW. Basically, what I'm saying is that your efforts should get attention beyond the PFW world. While watching the draft, I was listening to Sirius NFL Radio and PFW as well. In my opinion, the radio analysts beat out the TV heads. When a pick was announced, I didn't care about Mayock's opinion. I wanted to hear from you guys and the Sirius crew. My only criticism with PFW was Fred Kirsch. Fred, start listening, please. I know I don't know how radio works, but you guys only have 2 hours. There's too much football to cover. I can relate to the guys' frustrations with your lack of attention. Last thing, I was in New York City on Saturday and popped into Radio City Music Hall for the tail end of the 7th round. After watching the draft the past 2 nights, I wanted to get a look at the event live. As you know, by the 7th round, teams have 5 minutes to make their pick. Most get it done in 2. Everyone is exhausted, and they just want to get it done. So the Pats are on the clock at pick 247, and the time goes down to less than a minute, and they still haven't picked. I'm thinking, what the hell are they doing now? Just then, Jaws stands up on the ESPN set and says out loud to anyone who will hear, Belichick is taking the full 5 minutes to make this pick. Thought it was funny. I was thinking the same thing, Belichick being Belichick.
So, who'd they take with the pick?
I don't know, Welch maybe, one of those guys.
Point being that every other team just made a pick.
Weston,
like,
because I think 250 was Robinson. That was the last one, right?
Robinson was 250, yeah.
So I think 247 was Cade Weston.
Big body.
Liam writes in.
He'll call me big guy.
It seems clear to me that the Pats have a plan, but I really haven't heard anyone discuss it. The Patriots are as top-heavy in next year's draft as they've been in a long time, with two first-rounders and two second-rounders. Also, next year is expected to eventually be the first NFL draft with a rookie wage scale like the NBA's, so that the formerly toxic top 10 picks that require huge investments in unproven players will be a thing of the past. Do people really think these are unrelated items? I think next year the Pats could get some real studs early in the draft while not having to cripple their cap. Do you guys really think this idea did not go into any calculations either on draft day or as part of the decision to trade Richard Seymour?
No, I think it did.
I think it was part of the
It was factor. A huge part of the decision for Richard Seymour. That I can tell you with some pretty good certainty. I will not be surprised one bit if we see more of the same next year, trading down, searching for players, searching for more
Seymour
picks.
Seymour of the same?
Bill can't change who he is.
That's what he likes to do. Bill likes to search for bulk. And, oh, another banana in the tailpipe, Freddie.
Busy day for your tailpipes.
I just think that's what that's how he feels. And he talked about, Andy heard a little bit yesterday, what Belichick said locally on WEEI. That's basically how they like to go. They haven't changed their philosophy throughout their time here.
Right.
They drafted with the same principles throughout. Now,
because they haven't changed the key decision makers. It's Bill Belichick and Ernie Adams. Those two brains get together.
Right. I know a lot of people have made a big deal out of, you know, what happened since Pioli left. Nothing in terms of the way they go about their business. I don't think it has anything to do with it.
As Bill put it yesterday, why would you pay $10 at one store for something you can get at $7 at the other store?
Right.
That's how he views it.
Is the thing that was $10 better?
He's talking about the same item in that analogy, I would assume. But he's talking about the pair of socks.
He also taught me that it's Bill. It's never the same item.
True. All things are never equal, Andy.
Right. He's taught me that. It's never the same. Your team is never the same from one year to the next.
But is he?
Players are never the same.
Is he talking about getting like a pair of socks at Nordstrom versus getting them at Target? Because that's
is it the same pair of socks?
That's what I'm saying. Is it the same
type? Are they cashmere socks?
Same quality. Same quality. Yeah. Is it the quality
difference?
No,
I gave you the quote. That's what he's saying.
It's the same thing. But is the quality any different?
Why take it at 22 when you can get it at 27 or whatever?
You're just paying for the brand name.
Right. What are you looking for?
How
long are we going to play that today?
Chris in Stamford, Connecticut. Chris, who does a great job on his own, he does a lot of things on the web, getting a lot of draft picks to do interviews with him.
Good job, Chris.
Wanted to let you know that watching ESPN with the sound down while listening to PFW made for a fun draft weekend.
Woo-hoo.
I have to admit, I didn't look forward to the new three-day format, but with all the day two trades, it ended up being entertaining. Speaking of entertaining, when I did watch the ESPN broadcast, I noted a comparison of styles. Mel Kiper would say something like this: I'm surprised by that pick. Not sure he fits there. Might be a reach. Whereas Andy would say, what? Stupid pick. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Great job.
Let me just interrupt you for a second. As opposed to Mayock, who would say, I predicted this pick 5 months ago.
Right.
I'm losing. I got
to go. I'm interested in your opinion.
Just like I thought they would do. I thought this pick would be like this.
I'm interested in your opinions, predictions of the following. Julian Edelman Award, late round draftee who exceeds expectations. Who would be the Julian Edelman Award this year? Who will be?
Well, we know nothing about these linemen.
I don't know a lot, but based on
Ted Larson,
just on pure paper, George Welch, I think, is a pretty good tackle. Who has the ability to play both left and right.
Yeah.
And
they call him Welchie.
He also garnered a lot of attention for his ability to play injured last year. So I think he has a chance.
I'm going Larson. He's only played in center for 2 years. He started those full 2 years. He's got a lot of sand in his pants, or doesn't, I forget.
Gravel in his gut.
But he plays with
I didn't have a lot of sand.
Yeah, which makes no sense, because the scouting report on him is he's a mean run blocker, flyers out, kills people. And at pass protection, he's not so good because he's done it for 2 years. So it would make sense a defensive lineman converted to center can fire out and knock somebody off the ball but can't really pass protect. But I think that's intriguing. I mean, when he converted to center from defensive tackle, not only did he start right away, but his school put him on the Remington watch list for the best center in the country. That tells me something
about him either, huh?
Bill. Who?
Dave Remington.
Never heard of him. That tells me about Tom O'Brien, who's developed some pretty good offensive linemen over the years. saw something immediately that said, keep an eye on this guy, and he started every game there on out. So that, I think he's an ascending talent.
Okay.
That's my phrase.
Freddie, before you go on to the next one, one other thing that I wanted to add that Bill mentioned yesterday in that interview was how he felt, it kind of relates to this email about late round gems. He felt there were, how did he put it, Andy? More guys with draftable grades, with like solid draftable grades late in this draft, as opposed to 2007, he said. You know, they got to sixth and seventh round over the weekend and felt like there were good players there. Whereas, like, in 2007, I think was the example we used, they got to, like, the fourth round and had guys that they didn't think were draftable.
We've taken players that didn't nearly have the grades that they had in the fourth round before because the board was depleted, like in the 07 draft, as an example.
The they is Larson and Welsh in that quote.
I would agree with that.
It was funny. Every pick they got, he was surprised that guy got that low base. Gronkowski, we really didn't think he'd be there in the second round where we were able to get him. Hernandez certainly didn't think he'd be there. Welch, he was all over Larson and Welch. Really didn't think those guys would be there. So he feels like they got, obviously,
good value.
Value at every guy they took.
Mesko,
who we messed up his name. He called him Zesko or something on the radio.
The next award is the Chad Jackson Award. I think that goes without explanation. I hope they don't present this one this year.
I hope
year,
they don't have
one. Aaron Hernandez.
I mean, that's the only guy I think that you would say has a possibility of blowing
Gronkowski.
Up.
Gronkowski can't. You know why? Because his floor is blocking tight end. At worst, he'll be a blocking tight end.
I'll take it a step further. I think the floor for him is that he just can't play because of the back injury.
Right.
And that's not a Chad Jackson.
But that's not a Chad Jackson Award.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I would say Cunningham.
Yeah, okay.
I would say Cunningham, too.
The Randall Gay Award. This is the guy Brian Hoyer passes the crown to.
Oh, the rookie free agent?
No idea.
I got to go with my guy, Pascal.
I'm going to go with Brian Anderson, wide receiver, CMU.
Okay.
4.58 speed, big size.
I don't even know who they
Yet. They'll be bringing in guys during camp, too. So the
Fred, you can go with the wrestler, John Wise.
Sure, I'll go
with
him.
It's a wise move.
All right. The Justin Rogers Award, the preseason all-star who doesn't make the team and gets memorialized on message boards for the next 3 years.
Zach Robinson, because he's an athlete, he'll run around, do some crazy stuff.
I think he's going to make the team.
But I think he'll make the team.
He might. I don't know. I don't know anything about him. I just know he's athletic. And
I just think he'll make the team.
Preseason games are made for guys who have natural athletic ability.
They do have Jeff Rowe, don't forget.
Yeah. Row and behold.
He really is going to do it the whole show.
I don't know. I don't know who's going to be. Justin Rogers, by the way, made Dallas. I mean, he got picked up by Dallas and stuck around there for a couple of years. So it's not like he was a stiff.
Along those lines, Bobby Carpenter is about to be released in Dallas.
Is that right?
Want to take a swing at him?
I liked him the first time.
He's got the versatility, but he's been mostly an inside guy there. Maybe he could come play outside here.
Thank you.
Why are they releasing him?
Because he has done nothing for them and stinks.
Okay.
In other words, he's the perfect Patriot.
He's the guy that generally gets released at this time of year, unlike you thinking that Hall of Famers get released.
I know the Dallas fans were very excited when they drafted him.
Yeah, so was Andy. I wanted him. Not in a gay way or anything.
We all wanted him.
Not in a
gay way, of course.
Brett in Switzerland says, great draft day coverage and awesome job on the PFW mock draft picks. Although a six-hour difference, it was worth staying up and listening. On the current roster, Brenton Switzerland.
Do we have a fan in Switzerland?
On the current roster, who is at risk of being cut when it comes down to making the team? Quick review, stay gone or could go either way. Pierre Woods.
Stay.
Brent thinks he's gone. Eric Alexander.
Gone.
Matthew Slater.
Gone.
Terrence Wheatley.
Gone.
Jonathan Wilhite.
Stay.
Stays.
Kyle Arrington.
Gone.
Stays.
Gone.
I don't know if you know. He's like 1.7 special teams tackles per game, Paul.
Gone. Brandon McGowan.
Stays.
Gone.
James
Sanders.
Stay. God, why is he on this list? That's embarrassing.
Sean Crable.
Gone.
Gone.
Any idea of who is at risk to be cut or traded from the O-line in running back?
No.
Cut or traded from
Maroney,
the O-line.
I think, is at risk at running back.
I think Maroney would be a chance, but just a chance.
Yeah, a chance. If Darren McFadden gets released and they sign McFadden and release Maroney.
O-line, I don't think. I suppose Matt Light is still in play for a possibility, but.
Hope that's not true based on the mock-up I saw of our yearbook cover.
Oh, that's true.
Okay. LT from Adelaide. Hey, Fred, Andy, Paul and Eric, I don't want to make them cry, love the draft day coverage over the 3 days. Absolute gold, starting with Fred's F-bomb, Andy's five-hour energy field brilliance, Paul's rant and analysis. If he can't play, then that's not good. And Eric's hissy fit about not getting any credit, and then the boss, Jonathan Kraft, proceeding to not mention Eric anyway.
Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, they're there every day. Paul Perillo, one of your own.
Just want to play a hypothetical game with you guys. Imagine you are in Bill's position with the draft picks that we had and the information that Bill had. Would you have traded up, down, or stayed at 22 to pick a player? Which player would you have been happy with at 22, considering you guys only had Kindle before his injury concern and your impression of him? I know that McCurdy doesn't fill a big need, but if Bill traded down further, I know I wouldn't have been
McCourty.
Very happy.
Can you please call the poor kid by his right name?
McCourty?
McCourty.
What did he say?
Who's he?
Everybody says McCourty.
No, Devin, what did he say?
He doesn't call himself by his last name.
I wouldn't necessarily. He's walking around, hey, McCourty in the
McCourty's house. Happy to be here and help the Patriots.
Eric, what do you believe it is?
It's the way McCourty. It's spelled, McCourty.
The way it's spelled, but yeah. How is it pronounced?
The way it's spelled,
I mean,
McCourty.
I know it wouldn't exactly be unprecedented for the commissioner to mispronounce a name. We all remember Brett Favre. But
Trent Silverback actually, Williams.
I think it was Favor. I think.
I think Rozelle he did say Favor, yeah.
But they did announce him as McCourty. That's how it's spelled. That's how he said it.
You're the only person
I've
ever heard.
You're the only one who says McCurdy.
Even his twin brother pronounces it the same way.
Well, they don't have to. They
you are a breed apart, though, Freddie. You know, that's what makes you you.
When does the draft review PFW magazine come out?
Next week.
Next week.
I appreciate the
theory.
Work you guys do immensely. Keep up the great work.
Know,
and Eric, clearly, her mind's in Disturbia. Get well soon, girl.
LT, funny guy.
Now, what were we supposed to do? We're supposed to...
What would you have done at
22? What would we have done at 22, based on what was available?
Jerry Hughes.
I would have, even though all throughout the pre-draft process, I was against this, but Dan Williams, Jared Odrick, those guys, Brian Price even, maybe not at 22.
I wouldn't have been able to keep myself from taking Dez Bryant.
Really?
Yeah.
A young Jerry Jones over here.
I just...
Just be honest with it. I couldn't help myself.
We just don't get those kind of players here.
I thought he was going to say I couldn't have kept myself from taking Devin McCourty.
Early in the draft, I just...
Well, we had Chad Jackson.
I'd be so tempted to take this guy.
I wouldn't have been.
I would have resisted the temptation to take
Right, and then
in
the second round, I'd probably go all defense. You know, but I'd take Dez Bryant, maybe.
I would have taken Jerry
Jones. I really like McCourty, the player. I'm still, much like we said Thursday night, I'm still a little bit confused over the position, and I think there were guys with similar ability at positions of greater need, like the ones that the boys mentioned. Dan Williams is a guy I would have taken.
Yeah, and I think there was some interest.
Jared Odrick, most people think, could step right in and play a 3-4 defensive end. Mm-hmm. I think that's a bigger need, even though, like I said, I wasn't a big fan of Odrick leading up to the process because I wanted Kindle. Well, now Kindle's off my board, based on medical, at least, right. It would seem. So I would have changed directions. Jerry Hughes, I love Jerry Hughes. I'm just not sure he's a great fit.
Francis, the Canadian Pats fan, says, first of all, I was pretty disappointed with all the trading down once again. In the first round draft pick, I was really hoping for a pass rusher. That being said, with the guys we brought in on day two, I'm feeling a bit better, and I really hope that Mayo and Spikes can dominate. Now that the draft is over and we all got it at and all we got at need positions, outside linebacker, wide receiver, were an okay defensive end outside linebacker and a wide receiver from a small school. Do you expect the team to trade or do something to help out at those positions? Maybe re-sign Joey Drop Balls Can't Run Roots Galloway. Yeah. You guys do an awesome job, sometimes talking over one another, but that's all good. Love your show. You really like this Taylor Price guy.
I'm falling more and more in love with him the more I see and read about him. I was joking earlier about ascending talent, but he came from a wing T running high school where he caught 30 passes, and then he goes to Ohio where they're an option run-based offense and kind of evolved over the years. He got a little more opportunity, but caught back-to-back 50-catch seasons, is the school's all-time leader, I believe, in receptions, second in touchdowns. You know, he proved he could play at that level and then cemented it when he went to the Senior Bowl going up against Kyle Wilson and those types of people. and was one of the standouts there in terms of the practice week. So I think this is a guy whose best days literally could be ahead of him.
I mean, he reminds me a little bit of Vollmer, who, yeah, he went to Houston, you know, but it wasn't until the post, you know, when they got into the Senior Bowl and those pro days and, you know, where they started seeing him against the type of competition, you know, he didn't get to see at Houston. And they said, wow, this guy can compete. Price could be the same type of guy.
Bill said yesterday for college receiver, the production, and it comes down to three things. One is the talent of the guy, but the other two are the offense and the quarterback. Well, we know he didn't have a good offense, and I'm assuming he didn't have a great quarterback at Ohio. He's going to be in a good offense with a good quarterback here. Now, obviously, there's a growth period in running routes.
The quarterback is like listening to that going, oh, boy.
And
I'm going to cry myself to sleep.
And Bill said no disrespect to the players or whatever, right. But it is what it is. And the guy has great speed. He was tied for, I believe, the fifth fastest 40 at the combine, and that was 4.41. But there were handhelds. He's run as fast as 4.26, which is – that's scary fast. That's down in Chris Johnson land.
Yeah.
So I just think he is supposedly very quick off the line and has good hands. I liked his film, too, that put together by the guy who runs Bobcat Sports.
Paul reminded me of an ex-Patriots receiver that was his heyday was during Drew Bledsoe's heyday, Vincent Brisby. Kind of reminded me
that's
a little
not good.
Bit. No.
Mm. Not because Brisby wasn't a good player, but that's not the kind of guy I think he is. I think he's more of a...
Brisby was a little bit taller, I think, wasn't he?
Tony Simmons, I think.
Price is what, 6 feet?
6 feet and, you know.
Brisby was, Briz was like 6'2", 6'3".
He was a physical. Yeah, he was a slow physical receiver who.
I like Price. Got a strong arm, too. Got a couple touchdown passes if you want to run him a little wildcat. Or they ran some option end-arounds where they pitched it to him. Got some versatility as an athlete. And just seems to be pretty, you know, grounded, driven, hard worker type.
Yeah.
Big fan. Big fan.
Good.
I think I'm intrigued by that pick. I don't know a whole lot about him.
I think I'm intrigued by that.
No, I don't know a whole lot about him. I never saw Ohio play. I can't sit here and tell you I'm an expert on Taylor Price. I don't know. I mean, I'm intrigued by what I've seen on paper. I want to see the player now.
Who was the other guy that I was intrigued by, Eric, when I looked at their team stats? Some guy named Brazil or something.
Brazil?
Oh, yeah.
He had same number of catches, same number.
And you're like, why is this the guy that gets
drafted? More touchdowns.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, boy, for an offense that stinks, they didn't even take the guy that stinks from.
It's funny. Bill, you know, the Ohio quarterback, whoever he happens to be, was probably like every other Division I quarterback, was like this high school All-American, you know, had all these accolades coming out of his, you know, wherever he went to high school.
That's what the coach tells him to do.
You know, and probably had a fine career, and Bill Belichick's taking shots at him.
I would be remiss if I didn't thank Rajiv for today's lunch.
Very good.
Thank you, Rajiv.
Thank you so much.
How soon a sub hit the spot.
That's awesome. And he has an email. The draft is over, and you all did a great job covering it. So now that you have spent time mulling over the picks, how do you rate our picks individually and rate our draft as a whole? Overall, I'm pumped about the picks we made. I did have a gloomy feeling when they began to trade down and selected a cornerback in the first round, but as the second day ended, it made sense. The individual parts were less impressive than the sum of the whole, taking into account the free agent signings over the past couple days. I also think there's something to be said about the top five picks, even our punter, being captains on the college teams. This will be helpful in developing future team leaders. Personally, I can see Brandon Spikes being a leader pretty soon, speaking of whom, the combination of Mayo and Spikes in the middle has the potential to be great, coming to the greatest need of all, the pass rush. I have been seeing some of the footage of Jermaine Cunningham, and he does have the potential to be a pass rush outside linebacker who can also stop the run in our defense. But I am still not sold completely that we have completely addressed our pass rush needs. Yes, our coverage might be better with a better secondary, but even then we need another pass rusher. Maybe he's already on the team in the form of Sean Crable. Who knows?
Yeah, no.
But are your thoughts on this? What are your thoughts on this? I also wanted to know your thoughts on Taylor Price. We talked about him. Enjoy the lunch, and it's great listening to you all.
Rajiv, I wouldn't completely forget about Tyrone McKenzie, as we talked about earlier. I mean, we really don't know what we're going to get from him, obviously, but we know as much about him as we do about Brandon Spikes at this point. So to put all your eggs in the Spikes basket, I think, is a little premature. You got to let Tyrone McKenzie at least get out there and show us what he can do.
He could compete, absolutely.
You know, he could be just as quick or maybe – you know, maybe a half a step slower than Mayo, for all we know, which is a lot faster than Spikes would be.
Assuming McKenzie,
we just don't know. Even with
play,
the knee injury,
is he? a candidate for outside, or is he strictly an inside guy?
Who? Spikes?
I think
McKenzie.
He's an inside guy.
McKenzie.
I mean, he's played outside.
He's played both,
in a
but I think
D.
At this
I mean,
level,
four,
he's
three,
inside.
McKenzie's
but,
an inside guy in a 4-3, yeah. A 3-4 rather.
You mentioned Cunningham, possibly outside linebacker.
No, that's what he's going to play.
Yeah.
He's
going to
play
there's
it.
There's no possible. That's his role.
I don't see him having an immediate impact.
Now, if you look at him, he's got a similar body type to James Harrison. Not as bulky up top, but waist down, he's big, really thick legs.
He is the prototype.
Yeah. He's much bigger than Harrison.
He is the prototype
and
at the position.
James Harrison was a very low, was he undrafted, right?
Yeah, special
James team. Harrison?
Yeah. He learned size at the pro level.
He's much bigger than Harrison.
Taller.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. 4 inches taller, probably.
But Harrison is as thick as they come. I mean, the guy is, you know.
Yes,
he's
we understand. Bull. He's a good player. That's why he was a defensive player of the year. Let's not put that on.
I think Cunningham is
Jermaine Cunningham's shoulders.
You're looking at a developmental project with Cunningham. I don't think he comes in right away and all of a sudden starts and has this glorious
maybe.
Seven,
I mean, I have
eight,
no
sack
idea.
That's how I think, Eric. But who knows?
I mean, but maybe not.
Maybe not, given what's around him.
It's a project. They're all projects. Maybe he's the best project.
Maybe.
And has to play.
We have enough experience here watching the Patriots year in and year out. Very few rookies come in and immediately. I mean, Mayo did to a certain extent, but it's on this defense, come in and immediately start contributing at that level. It just takes time, you know.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate.
I mean, Wilfork didn't really. Ty Warren really didn't. Seymour did.
Well, they started, but they didn't make a huge impact.
Right, exactly.
But I would say that there haven't been many opportunities in the past for guys to come in. There are opportunities right now. At several spots.
Yeah.
Now, I think you're right. I don't think you have seen a lot of high-impact guys step in immediately, but I don't think they've been in a situation where
even
the amount of opportunities are open.
Better
he was certainly not a starter from day one. No.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
But you create your opportunities.
Yeah.
I mean, Brandon McGowan was not supposed to play as much as he did last year. That could have been Patrick Chung. It wasn't. But if Patrick Chung were good enough, it would have been him.
That's what I'm kind of getting at with the opportunity. You know, they
it
have.
Wasn't like, yeah, it wasn't Harrison and Lawyer Malloy starting, and you're just not going to unseat him.
You know,
the guy was unseated, but he was unseated by the street free agent special team.
Jermaine Cunningham is looking at trying to unseat Rob Ninkovich or Pierre Woods.
Yeah.
Now
you know,
that's just funny.
That's a good point.
So he might get the opportunity. Andy might be right. He might be an empty seat. He might be a project that just flat out has the opportunity to do it.
Yep.
Because
that's scary, though. It's a scary proposition.
Whereas Brandon Spikes might be far more ready right now to play at the NFL level, but he might have to get in front of Mayo if they decide, you know, depending on what they do.
Right.
I mean, he might play alongside Mayo, too. Who knows?
I just thought of a good gimmick T-shirt, maybe, if they're both really good. Can you play off something like holding the club together and have a club sandwich with the mayo and a spike going through it instead of that little toothpick thing
too
that holds it together?
Kraft and mayo go well together, right?
No, wrong craft. I'm talking about spikes in mayo. You put a big spike through a sandwich with the mayo inside, holding the club together.
The club sandwich.
Yes, that's what I mean.
I like it.
By the way, don't mock me, or I'll start mocking you. Oh. I saw a sketch on a designer's desk yesterday that was mockable.
What the hell are you talking about?
Did you sketch something yesterday and put it on somebody's desk to have something designed?
No.
Yes, you did.
Yesterday? No.
Well, sorry. Did you sketch something and put it on a designer's desk?
What, the T-shirt?
Yes.
Good, Eric.
What, you don't like my design of a T-shirt?
Can we talk about it openly? Or?
Well, no, not what I'm doing. No.
Okay. Then I can't really discuss it.
That's a secret. But what was...
But how about the fact that Andy Hart, first time ever showing discretion?
Yeah.
Can we talk about it openly?
Well, I had the feeling this is going down the road of like 21 in a row subtlety and just like this thing that I shouldn't talk about, so...
Alex and North Shore,
subtlety.
Kids at PFW and Eric, during your draft coverage, Andy was teasing Eric because Jonathan Kraft forgot to mention his name in an interview he did with the EI.
Forgot?
Let me remind you, though,
of the
context of those remarks. I believe Glenn Ordway joked that he heard that the Krafts let anyone into their studio. Then Jonathan Kraft said, absolutely, let me tell you, a kid with an internet radio show, come on in. Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, they're here every day. Paul Perillo.
I didn't hear that part.
So if Jonathan is welcoming in kids with internet radio shows because Fred, Andy, and Paul are in every day, what does that say about what Jonathan Kraft thinks of Fred, Andy, and Paul? Apparently Jonathan thinks Eric has more maturity than the rest of you.
He has no idea who he is.
Exactly. Yeah, I would believe that if he knew actually who.
Anyway,
was.
Two quick questions for you. First, in an internet chat, Mike Reese said that he felt the bill passed on Dez Bryant because when you're building a team, the first round draft choice from that year sets the tone and reflects what you are looking for from all your players.
Gunners.
It has a trickle down effect to the rest of the rookies. From your experience, do you think that's true? Does the first pick lead the other rookies? Do you think Devin McCourty will do that well?
I don't know what McCourty will do.
That's a good point, though. The first-round guy is the guy that gets all the attention, so he better be someone who can handle that.
But I agree with that theory. I don't agree with that's why Belichick didn't take Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
I think if he felt Dez Bryant was worth the risk, he would have taken him.
I mean, certainly they've had rookies that, you know, Mayo's the perfect example, that have come in and led the way. Brady supposedly took over the leadership role immediately within his class.
Yep.
But a guy like, are we blaming Maroney for that class? Because he was immature and didn't take over a leadership role?
I'm just kidding.
But if he had, if everything else existed and he rushed for 1,500 yards,
mm-hmm. Well, that's
just like if Dez Bryant came in and was a total turd, but caught 75 passes with 13 touchdowns for 1,200 yards, I don't think anyone would say, but was he the leader we were looking for? No, he was the playmaker
we
were looking
for. Yeah, but you could say that if Lawrence...
Because you got everything out of Mayo except the playmaking.
If Lawrence Maroney had that type of maturity, maybe he would have run for 1,500 yards. Because we all believe, at least I do, that what has been holding him back and what held him back is upstairs.
But right. Upstairs on the field dancing around. I'm not sure that's upstairs.
Well,
I think he tries as hard as anyone.
I do, too. I really do.
Well, I think there might be something to that. If he's upstairs thinking about what the fans and what the media are thinking about him, that will cause him on
right.
the field to do things that...
I think he's weak mentally.
Looking for the home run.
I do, too, but... Or thinking too much when he gets to the line
right.
instead of making a decision
that's
and
right.
sticking
that's
with
right.
it.
Well,
and
I
then
think,
the
see, that's,
and
that's
the second
ability,
round pick
though.
That year
that's different.
Has the same problem. Mental.
Well, see... I think letting Chad Jackson off the hook with mental is too easy on him. Like, it was all just about mental. He could do
everything
else. Well,
that never even gave him a chance. The fact that he wouldn't, you know, play ball never even got him on the field, never even gave him a shot. Now, maybe once he got on there, you're right, maybe he just didn't have it talent-wise. But he never even gave himself a chance.
I agree with the idea behind drafts necessarily being – sort of defined by the first round pick. It's hard to have a quote unquote great draft and miss on your first round pick.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that I somewhat agree with. I mean, it's not impossible, but I think it's rare. I'm not sure that you pick a guy based on that. Like
yeah,
you say, well, I have this guy with this amount of talent, but I'm not sure if he's a leader and gonna like sort of impact the class. But this guy is not as talented as this other guy. I'll take him because he's got intangibles. I don't think a lot of coaches would do that.
And couldn't you argue if you're taking Brandon Spikes, who's the ultimate leader by most accounts, then maybe you can take Dez Bryant, the talent, in the first round?
I don't know. I'm just saying that the first round
pick... Like, is Dez Bryant going to suddenly make Brandon Spikes not a leader anymore?
The first round pick on a team is the guy. He's the
well, yeah.
He's the guy in the rookie
class
that's going to make the most money. He's going to get the most attention.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He's
defined.
The
he's defining
the
class.
After and hold
right.
up the shirt.
Right.
You know.
But if he doesn't, if let's put it this way, if he has just like an average career, if McCourty is okay, and you get great production out of Gronkowski, Hernandez, Spikes, you know, and you get a punter and Mesko, no one's going to look back and say, "Geez, you know, that was terrible." I mean, they didn't have any
but
identity with
it,
that
it's
draft.
The other way around, Can a bad first-round pick, I mean, from a leadership point, spoil the rest of the apple?
No, I don't think he can.
No. Can he?
I don't think he can.
Okay. That's.
I don't think that – just what Andy said. If you bring in Chad Jackson was the first-round pick right now, and by all accounts he had a bad attitude, would he spoil Brandon Spikes?
I don't know.
Brandon Spikes would say, you're the number one pick. Start acting like it.
Maybe.
Because he's a real leader.
Yeah.
Let's just get back to my thing. I don't think leaders are created in any way. They're
you
born.
Either are or you aren't.
And Brandon Spikes is a leader in the first round, second round, third round, fifth round, or like Tom Brady, near the end of the draft. Wherever it is, the leader rises to the top.
And I know the Patriots, I know Belichick has sort of searched for guys like this in the past, periodically in drafts. Last year we heard an awful lot about some of the leaders they drafted, even later in the draft. But I don't think it's a surprise that he picked guys, as that emailer pointed out, all these captains – because I think Indy's absolutely right. You can talk all you want in the offseason about wanting to have guys step up and be more forceful with their leadership. But Bill knows that there's a handful of guys in there that just don't have that kind of ability to step up and be vocal leaders. So he knows he's looking for that, I think, as part.
No, leaders
that's not,
wanted.
That's not the only.
Take those T-shirts, cross out winners, write leaders.
It's not the only factor, but if I'm looking for an inside linebacker and I have my choice between Brandon Spikes and he's, by all accounts, a great leader, and some other guy who might be just as good a player but not as good a leader, I'm going to take Spikes.
That's why all things are never equal, Paul.
Right.
Alex also says, I've heard Aaron Hernandez mentioned in an H-back role for the Patriots. Could you please explain exactly what an H-back does as opposed to a fullback or tight end? Have the Patriots used an H-back before? Are you excited about Hernandez being used this way?
Well, an H-back is kind of a combination fullback, tight end, and wide receiver,
and
hence the hybrid part.
David Thomas kind of was starting to play that role towards the end of his career here.
Well, if you think back, Keith Byers, they tried to use him sort of sometimes as an H-back. There was a guy that they were talking about in the early 2000s that they drafted, Garrett Mills, I think, they thought might be kind of an H-back type guy. The guy from the Redskins is kind of the H-back of the league.
Chris Cooley.
Yep. It's lining up in a lot of different places. It's a lot of motion. But it's not the powerful inline blocker, three-point stance next to the tackle tight end. It's
well, here's the real question. If, in fact, they do plan on using Aaron Hernandez as an H-back, are you adding pages to the playbook? Or are from what you've seen, is he just taking over certain plays that they're already running?
Already there.
You think it's already
I think
there?
Ben Watson was H-back-like at a lot of times in a lot of stuff that he did.
I just don't think
you'll see Hernandez lined up in a three-point stance on the end of the line of scrimmage like Watson could.
Do you remember when we asked Bill?
That's what, you know, Gronkowski was to do.
Remember when we asked Bill who the, you know, what H stood for, and he said halfback?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Wow.
Do you know that story?
No, I didn't. Never heard that.
Yeah, in all seriousness. Awesome.
He also said that. Who would he pick as the, you know, the H-back or something in the NFL? And he said Tony Gonzalez.
Tony Gonzalez. So basically it's a guy that you can move off the line of scrimmage a little bit and play as a receiver who's a tight end. I mean, that's basically the way I look at it from what Bill, at least how Bill looks at it.
Yeah. Jumping to the other tight end they drafted, and I know you guys are going to mock me because he's my binky and I love him, Gronkowski, but I did get a little excited when Bill talked about the red zone and having him lined up on the backside one-on-one against a corner. If I see that, I'm going to enjoy that play because I think that's a good matchup.
Jump ball, sure touchdown.
No, assuming he can jump.
It's three steps, turn around, throw it high, let him run through the guy.
And then let him smack me. When he and Brady smash heads after celebrating something, Jesus, they might knock each other out.
What happens when Vontae Davis steps in and picks it off like he did in front of Moss?
Come on now. Gronkowski's going to try.
No, use
Cole McCoy, like, come on now.
Well, Moss doesn't use his body well.
He's also not 6'6".
What is he, 6'4".
Thanks for bringing the negativity to the table.
Yeah, I know, right?
2 inches.
Debbie Downer over here.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily negativity as it was devil's advocate, but I am not overly enamored.
See how he kind of masks his negativity?
Devil's advocate here, everything but Patriots Paul Perillo.
The point I was going to make is I'm not necessarily enamored with height. You know, well, you have a 6'6 guy, so you just throw it up to him.
Well, but he's not just tall. He's tall and powerful.
He hates the 6'6 guy. He hates Wes Welker, who's 5'10". Who does he like?
I love Gronkowski. I loved that pick. I told you that.
He's an angry little man.
I loved that pick. Don't put words in my mouth, as I want to say. You're not nearly smart enough to do that.
That's one with an O.
You're not.
Roger is from Chester, Virginia.
Tough sport.
Hey, guys.
Chester.
Hey, guys, and Andy. From what I've come to
find. Screw you, Rog.
What I've come to find, the singer of the Gatorade commercial is Kermit Quinn from Blackstreet, and David Banner produced it. It seems like it may have been made just for the commercial, hence why
Kermit
we
Quinn
find it.
And David Banner.
It's a cool little tune.
David Somebody Banner. Told us that because I said, you won't like me when I'm angry.
Yeah, Banner.
We went
Banner.
Down this road.
I said Bruce what? Banner?
Oh, that's Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner.
Oh, okay.
No, wait. Are you sure?
Yeah, it's Bruce Banner.
Dr. Banner. Isn't he Bruce?
Yeah, I think it's Bruce.
He goes Dr. Banner. That doesn't clear up his first name.
No, but I was like, isn't
it's
that
Dr. Banner?
It's Doctor. Right.
But isn't that Bruce? Dr.
Can you
Bruce
check,
Banner.
Can you check that up?
It is.
It is what?
Thank you, Doc.
Bruce.
Yeah.
New Iron Man's coming out. Can't wait to see that.
You saw the first one?
Oh, yeah.
I like the first one. I didn't see the first one.
I didn't see it either. No one did.
Has there been a movie made in the last 5 years that wasn't already something? Like whether like based on a book, comic book, or
Gladiator.
Remake?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know.
Avatar.
Very little originality.
I'll tell you, though, when they that last Batman they made was the best superhero movie ever made.
It was good.
Dark Knight?
It was good.
Good.
Overrated.
Best super made. Oh, overrated.
Never saw it.
Oh, my God. That was...
Nothing?
Never saw
I'm not surprised you didn't see it.
I thought I was going to get an explosion for that.
If it's not on ESPN, you
I'm
don't
a little,
see it.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little disappointed.
By
I
the
was
way,
looking for the explosion.
Speaking of movies, are you going to watch the ESPN 30-30 on Ricky Williams?
Probably not.
You know what I want?
I thought you liked those.
I want that whole
love
collection.
The 30 for 30, but I have to be interested in the subject.
I want those. I want...
And I'm not...
I'm sure they'll sell it.
If that comes out as a collection, I want to get it. Because I haven't seen one of them.
The 30 for 30s?
But they all interest me.
Yeah. See, you that know? One doesn't really interest me.
Yeah, for some reason, I'm not really either. And
I think it's
just,
too modern or something.
Yeah, it's kind of... To me, it's wasted talent.
Why didn't they do one on the Patriots? The 0-1 Patriots that I say continue to say should be a movie. The entirety of that season with deaths and luck and... The story of the quarterback, everything,
right.
9/11. I still say that should be a movie or a documentary.
You could do
well,
one.
It's
they
been
haven't
so
really
documented.
Yeah, they.
You
they,
know.
They
and Ricky
really,
Williams hasn't,
but they haven't really done anything on stuff like that. That would be different, really, than all the documentaries they've done. They've basically been really individual based.
Right. You know, I just think that's a better story than Ricky Williams got high and decided to leave the game.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I'm not overly
it
interested.
It depends
in
on what kind of people they got to interview and what insight they got.
You know. Fred Jesus was kind of well documented, but they still made some movies about him too.
Now know? He's comparing Ricky Williams to Jesus?
No, I'm drawing an analogy.
Like Len Bias.
It's the first thing he's drawn in a long time.
Oh, but I'm
and he got it done pretty quickly.
Wow.
Remind
me, I have a joke for off the air for that.
Because I don't draw Fred. Don't say on
hey, is it off color?
Yeah.
Okay. Sam in Chicago.
Sam,
doesn't Sam owe us something? Nudie pics or something?
Nudie pics?
Let's see.
Picture.
At least a nip slip.
She says, thanks for all your efforts with the draft shows and the constant blogging. The Globe is tanking as more up-to-date info is available on smaller microsites in blogs, tweets, and you guys will be the Patriot Media spearhead.
They should have gone out of
you
business.
You already are
year.
In my book. Anyways, this is a general question in regards to, ironically enough, from an article coming from the Globe about the AFC East favoring larger players, which influenced the Patriots drafting larger than usual players this year. Do you think the media will settle down from their current position favoring the Jets as the AFC team to beat after the Patriots' great draft? And Andy, watch the oatcakes and the gas.
I'm interested in how this affects my system, this horse food.
I was, believe it or not, in some management meeting this morning and talking about respect in the workplace.
And you
and
farted?
One of the things, you know, ADA and all that stuff.
And you farted?
Actual gastrointestinal problems.
I have a digestive problem. I've been telling you for years.
I turned around. I said, that's half my staff.
So that's legit.
Thanks for that, by the way. I appreciate that.
I said half. You could be the other half.
Do you have to make special
including himself and Andy.
Accommodations for me now?
Yeah, we put you in a sealed room.
Oh, is good. This a legitimate handicap, my digestive issue?
It could,
yeah, you get to use your own bathroom, the one near Murray's office.
I don't like that one because then you stink up the hallway and people see you coming in and out. There's no anonymity.
Yeah, it's right in front of a conference room.
It is.
People
like,
can see you
in and out of the lobby.
Then they get out of the meeting and they're like, oh, it was that hard.
What do you think? Has the draft changed your viewpoint of the AFC East?
No.
Not yet.
No. Not really.
No.
I feel better about the Patriots than I did a week ago.
I think the Patriots had,
sure.
had a fine draft.
You know, they see, have multiple bodies at some spots.
They had a fine draft.
Here's the thing. You know, I think the Patriots' defense got better. Okay, on paper. It got better. But
funny, I feel better about
the
that.
Problem
I feel better
is,
about the
in
offense.
This division,
I feel like
the
improvement
division,
on offense.
Price and Gronk,
have
I'm
to
feeling
get better
good.
On offense,
and Hernandez.
Too, because you got the Jets.
I think they are better on offense.
Yeah. You know you want,
I think
man.
They've improved on offense. I don't know about
more
defense.
So than defense.
Because I don't know the guys that they took. I don't,
actually,
they've
yeah.
improved. You're right. Spikes is better than Guyton.
It's got to be.
Maybe.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe.
Got to be.
Well,
Guyton started 16 games and had
97
tackles.
And let's
not
forget Tyler McKenzie.
And McCurdy.
Court. Court, C-O-U-R-T. But Court. My point about the defense is I think they drafted some good players, but I think at the best you're going to get is you're replacing guys that you didn't have to replace. They didn't really get a guy at left defense. I mean, unless you're going to say Gerard Warren's going to step in and, you know, be a stud. I don't, you know.
He could help.
I just assume keep Mike Wright there, then just put Gerard Warren there.
Quality
Damian
depth.
Lewis.
Well, it's starting to look like a rotation will exist.
He likes to rotate defensive linemen. You know,
yeah, he likes to do that when he doesn't have.
When he doesn't have the solid
he didn't rotate,
guy. He didn't rotate
when he had Seymour,
Wilfork, right.
and Warren for a couple years there. There wasn't much rotating.
No,
going
except
on.
Seymour.
No, he
came
did.
Out on third.
Yeah.
Well, that was only late. I mean, like 2004, 2005.
Yeah, Reggie White, you use him.
That's because he got too big.
He didn't
stiff.
Have Reggie White.
Let's see.
No, he had Richard Seymour.
Sheila in Clearwater. I heard you talking about spikes at the beginning of the show and decided to throw in my two cents. I watched the four-minute video on the webpage and really enjoyed it. This gives me great hope. Now, before you say I am crazy, hear me out. While I watched it, I couldn't help but to think of Rodney Harrison. Wait. Just watch it again and think. It seems to me like he came out of nowhere and either creamed someone or intercepted the ball. What do you guys think? There is just something about the way he plays.
I agree with the Harrison comparison. I think he's a natural leader. I think he's a little edgy at times where he kind of blurs the line between good sportsmanship.
Harrison comparison.
No, I don't think it's ridiculous. I think he plays with an edge. I think he's a physical player. I don't think he's the most physically gifted player on the field, and I don't think Rodney Harrison was. I don't think it's a dumb comparison at all. I like it.
Brett from Florida, you guys probably won't like this, but I am totally on board with Bill about being rude with the Dunlop question.
I am too.
He has always seen the media as if he would rather sit on a cactus than have a press conference, so it's almost to be expected. He thinks his job is to coach and win games, and that if he wins, nobody will care how he treats the media. That being said, love the show and enjoy your analysis and hope you will answer my questions. My only beef with the draft is that they still don't have an outside linebacker, although they got great value. As it looks right now, who are they planning on starting at corner? Also, do you think about Welker to start the season? Go to three wide out, tight end, and single back as their primary set? If not, what will they do?
I like how he put it. They didn't get a linebacker, but they got great value. Like Deidre sends me to the store to get milk. Well, I didn't bring any milk, but the bread was on sale, so I got some.
Yeah.
We need milk.
Don't worry about it. They have a running back. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Who are you yelling at?
He likes when Belichick answers different questions than the ones that are asked in a snooty manner, so I'm going
to
do it to
him. He picks and chooses who he's rude to in his press conferences. He's all sweet, and calling people by their first name sometimes. If he's going to be mad, he's going to be mad at everybody all the time.
You must have done something.
There's the root of this.
I guess.
He doesn't call Eric by his first name, or at least hasn't in the last 6 years.
In the past.
Never.
I thought he had.
The one time I had a one-on-one with him, he said, "Hey, Eric."
Proves he knows your name.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I thought there was never a time.
Nope.
I actually was
the one time we were one-on-one, he did.
I was thinking we had a possibility of him thinking he was somebody else.
No.
So you feel like a spurned lover.
No.
No. You got to think about that for a second.
He would have to have loved and lost to have felt that feeling.
You're a little jealous when, Chris Gasper gets a Chris or Shalise gets a Shalise.
No, or Andy gets an Andy and Paul gets a Paul.
It's not that. It's just...
You
wait till somebody's finished asking the question.
No, I think I said that.
If you give that consideration to other people, give it to... I mean, we've never done it. Well, I shouldn't say we. But
wow, you just cut ties with us quickly.
I don't think I've ever done anything to deserve that kind of treatment, is all I'm saying.
You should go to a press conference with the sleeves cut off the bottom of your sweater. Maybe you guys could be friends.
Oh, yeah, we haven't mentioned the cashmere green sweater with a V-neck. Is that cashmere?
Yes.
Is it really? Mm-hmm. You have a lot of cashmere sweaters. Those are very expensive.
Wow.
Huh?
I have good taste.
Wow. Or your parents do.
No.
They don't buy your clothes for you?
Not anymore.
No, they don't buy him anything.
Like at the beginning,
he gets no Christmas presents.
At the beginning of school season, they take you out shopping.
That's
for your
the
clothes.
Root of all these other issues. Yeah, right. He didn't get Christmas presents as a kid.
No, I did.
That's why he's the way he is.
Is that right? You didn't get Christmas? That's sad.
That's inaccurate.
That is why he's a miserable human being.
No.
You didn't get what you liked?
No.
See,
it has
the
nothing
pause?
To do with
See
Christmas presents.
What is this? What is this? What are you talking about?
He doesn't
about
get Christmas
anymore?
Presents.
No. Now, now I don't ask for
when
things.
When did it stop?
I don't know. When I became an adult.
18?
So the last 20 years he has not gotten.
Yeah, probably in college I stopped asking for things.
He's gone 20 years without a present.
You shouldn't have to ask.
Exactly.
Well, that's what I tell my parents, but they're like, "What do you want for Christmas?" I'm like, I'm an adult. You don't. Tell people what you want for Christmas.
They're teaching you a lesson.
This is the root of his issues. What are you talking about?
They said, "What do you want for Christmas?" And you don't give them an answer, so they don't get you anything.
Right, and I'm okay with that.
But tell them what you want.
Out here you are, but down
here. Not so much here and here, but right here it hurts.
Obviously, you do have a problem.
No, I don't.
Yes.
Yes.
No, I don't. Well, not with them. Not with Christmas.
Yes, you do.
Not with Christmas.
With certain head coaches in the league.
Oh, not with them. Not with Christmas. So you do have problems with your parents, just not at Christmas time. What are the problems?
No.
Just answer the questions.
No.
This is an interrogation. This is more like a session.
Everybody in the world says, "Oh, you don't need to get me anything." And then when they get under the Christmas tree, there's a present with your name on it.
And you're thrilled.
His Christmas tree is empty.
No. Wait. You guys are making stuff up again.
The Grinch
as you are wont
Christmas.
To do. That's wont with an O.
Wait, Andy and Fred, if your wives said, "Don't get me anything for Christmas," and you did that,
I'd be screwed.
Wives are different than parents.
I'm glad you've learned that one. Getting back to screwed.
It's the same thing, though.
Oh, boy.
I can never
How
tell
we turn
if,
a Bill Belichick
if
press conference into a dissection of Christmas.
Who? Because we're trying to get back to the root of your anger that's internal, and I really do believe it's the Christmas holiday.
I don't like it when people are rude for no reason.
Right, but the anger that you're showing from this is based in a lot of other issues
yeah,
you have.
There's some deep-seated things going on here, yeah, and that's okay.
It's sure. pent-up laugh of giftism.
Nothing that a few...
Laugh of giftism?
I don't know. You don't get gifts. Bottom laft? Line.
I think it's lack.
Lack.
Look, this is nothing that...
You knew what I meant!
This is nothing that a few years of therapy can't, you know, solve for you.
Yes, it
Dr.
is.
Dr. Phil loves
He knows.
Me.
He tried from age 30 to 32.
What? Andy making stuff up again.
You never
you
been to therapy?
You are an habitual liar.
You no. been to therapy?
Yes, no.
Because you go to a priest, it's the same thing.
I don't go to priests. I go to church.
A council.
There's a difference.
Do you get counseled?
No.
You never want to be alone in a room with a priest.
Why do you say that all the time?
He agrees with me, and he's the religious guy.
But, I mean, true. There's clearly something that bothers him.
That
what,
doesn't
what
bother
bothers
him.
Me?
The out talking out against the church. It's something that you
no,
believe
I,
in.
I, it doesn't bother me at all.
The facts can
or
never be
should
mean.
Bother you.
this guy. He goes out of the room for 10 minutes. He comes back. He inserts himself into the conversation.
And incredibly, we were talking about the same thing when I left. I looked at Jason when I got back. I go, they're still talking about that.
Well, he had to tell us that he went 20 years without a Christmas present.
That's inaccurate.
I heard
Andy
that
Hart, a visual liar.
That's kind of sad.
It's not true, A. And
you
B,
said when you became an adult, that's 18. You're now 38. That's 20 years. Where's my math bad? Because
huh?
you said Creeping I went up. Without a Christmas present. That's not true.
From your parents.
That's not true.
You just said they haven't given you one since you turned it
That's
out.
Not. I didn't say that.
You're
again are making
see, now
stuff
you're making
up
him upset.
Eric, once
now
again, under cross-examination, your story's falling apart.
Which is why he should never debate as a politician.
Cross-examination.
You have to be right. accurate, especially if you're going to be a politician. You have to have your facts straight.
My facts are straight. You guys make stuff up.
I'm not making – you're the one that
Got
said
Got another
it.
One for off-air if anyone's wondering. Nothing.
Anyway.
I now keep track of things I can't say on air.
Cody says, we have Fred, what? Sammy Lawrence,
it's
going to
be available on demand as the post-show show.
Let's talk about the email. Fred, Sammy, Lawrence, Ben, and Kevin, who will start day one in running back? Who will be gone and who will be our star running back for this year? And one more thing, do you believe we will select Mark Ingram next year with one of the first
rounders?
Oh, good
God. Who? We can't be thinking about 2011 draft.
No, about, and it doesn't
we
matter.
We are not
who
talking about the 2011 draft yet.
I don't think it matters one bit who the starting running
it's
back
gonna
is.
It's going to be a committee
It's
going
to be a committee again.
They didn't draft a number one guy, so just it's the same thing you've gotten the last 2 years.
I'd be very surprised if they took Mark Ingram next year. I just don't think that's something Bill values.
Yeah, hopefully there'll be a 6'4", 4'6", pass rusher.
I don't love Mark Ingram.
I
think he's a good college player. I think you're seeing more and more that if NFL teams are willing to go for a running back, they're looking for game changers, and I'm not sure he's a dynamic game changer. Now, it'll trend the other way, I'm sure, at some point. We'll
now, what
be
do we have? We had Matthews and Spiller. That was it?
And then Best.
Oh, Best.
In the second.
Best.
Oh, that was
Best
the
was
end of
late
the first.
Best was late first of the
but
Lions.
Two of the three are dynamic playmakers, and some people believe Matthews' playmaking ability was grossly undersold.
He invented the Wildcat, you know.
He did.
Dwyer ever end up going? Oh, yeah, he got drafted like in the
sixth round.
Where he should go with guys like Larson and Welch.
Where did he go?
Welch was the Steelers.
Steelers take
Mendenhall needs a fullback.
Yeah, he needed a fullback. Andy was very excited about that. See?
You'll be
right
rooting
here.
For him now.
Eye to eye with Kevin Colbert.
To make nice blocks, yes.
He's going to be a little better than you think he is. Of the draft. Aaron from Virginia.
Well, that would be a lot better than I think he is, because I think he's going to not make a team.
Hey, he thinks he's going to be out of the league in 3 years.
Great weekend of work. I have to agree with the other emails that watching ESPN with the PFW audio playing was a great experience. I've listened to the audio on the Gronkowski pick several times. It's an awesome roller coaster ride. Andy screaming, "Oh, the Ravens got Gronkowski!" And Eric later with astonishment in his voice, "Wait, why are they putting the Patriots up there?"
Oh my God, the Patriots are awesome.
You know what? That probably wasn't our most professional 2 minutes of radio.
Well,
it wasn't
the NFL's most professional 2 minutes of draft.
The roller coaster of emotions during that whole time was huge.
The uncertainty around who actually got the player was just perfect, and you couldn't have scripted a more dramatic scene, highly entertaining.
Well, thank you.
Sure was.
We showed some passion there.
By the way, we all wanted Gronkowski, too.
We didn't
That's
go to a commercial.
Thing.
you know, yeah. And then come back and wait till it was sorted out.
Right.
Well, that was basically 6 hours of radio. I think we had one break.
We're and that was just to fix something.
What do you guys think about signing Faneca? It would make for a funny battle of who was the most disrespected veteran between him and Adelis. Do we have the need? No. And what about the defensive tackle that was cut by the Jags? Anything left in his tank?
Did Faneca sound off? I haven't read anything.
I haven't.
Because he was, by all accounts, terrible last year and a complete reputation pick for the Pro Bowl, and they were not happy with him. That was a terrible signing for them. That was bad. They spent a lot of money on Faneca and got nothing out of it, really.
The last report I saw was the Steelers were thinking about bringing him back.
And now for Pittsburgh, I know this is going to sound hypocritical based on what I just said. Pittsburgh's offensive line is so bad, I think it makes sense for them to bring in a guy that has had success there and maybe as a veteran can help out a little bit. But the Patriots, he's not better than Logan Mankins or Stephen Neal at this stage. He's not. So, no, I don't bring in a guy who started his whole career as a backup. I don't think that makes much sense.
And was he talking about Henderson?
Yeah.
John Henderson? Yeah. Gets slapped before games. Did you know that?
You really got to pay more attention, Fred.
I would say no.
I would say no either.
Well, they've
even
signed,
though the Patriots
signed
have been
so many
interested
of them
in him in the past.
If they hadn't signed all these other ones, I'd say probably yeah. But they've been signing all these other line.
What's tackle? What would he be here?
If they'd have to go
to be a 3-4 end, wouldn't he?
I would think he's a 3-4 end or a 4-3
tackle.
Too
tall
to
be a
nose
tackle.
I don't think he's
a
nose. But, I mean, we're just going to add him to that mix of bodies? I don't think he fits. I'm not sure he has the athleticism.
Can't fit the Seymour role?
No, I don't
think 3-4?
So. Especially not at this point. Old dog, new tricks. Didn't work last year with Galloway.
Oh, Damian Lewis, Gerard Warren. Old dogs.
Robbie and Galloway. Shocking.
You said it.
Shocking, Robbie says, the difference a year makes. During the offseason in 09, you guys had a sky-high opinion of Gerard Mayo, and I remember Andy saying, or it might have been Eric, that our two most important players were Brady and Mayo. And if Gerard Mayo was to get injured, it would be catastrophic for the Patriots. Now Paul thinks a rookie linebacker drafted in the second round would be a much better Mike linebacker in a 4-3 than Mayo. Fred thinks he contributed somewhat in his rookie season. He was the defensive player of the year. Don't jump off the Mayo.
Rookie of the year. There's a big difference there.
Don't jump off the Mayo bandwagon just yet. He's a very good player, and going into his third year in New England will only improve.
I don't think we jumped off the Mayo bandwagon. I think we just tempered our enthusiasm.
Did I really say he contributed somewhat? I don't think so.
Mayo.
And
I think I need to revisit the whole Mike thing. I think that you put Mayo outside, I think that allows him to do more. I don't want to, quote-unquote, as Andy likes to say, waste him, you know, inside taking up all that track. I think Spikes is better suited for that physical, you know, taking on the guards, pounding away every play, thumping than Mayo is. I like Mayo's athleticism to run around and make plays. That's why I want, not because I think Spikes is already a better player than Mayo. He's not.
And I don't want to be disingenuous. I'm about a month away from jumping ship on the Mayo bandwagon.
Well, you can't be a month away. You're a month away from the season.
In our comparison.
Well, I meant a month of football away.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, if he goes
another
month,
I will not.
Yeah. If he's into October or November and still hasn't made any plays, I'm sorry. Gerard Mayo is what he is.
Robbie misheard us was that we were comparing what Spikes might be able to do to what Mayo does. And we said Mayo is more versatile.
Yes,
Spikes
can
only be in the middle. Right. Whereas Mayo, if you had to play them both,
somehow he took that as a negative.
No,
I meant it as a positive.
Three linebackers putting them on the field.
He's a better all-around player than Spikes. I don't want to waste him in the middle.
I also think we've said we're cutting Mayo a little bit of slack because of the knee injury last year. He played through most of the year, probably came back a little bit earlier. Who knows? But we're going to cut him a little slack.
Away.
And we also,
as far as that goes, and see what happens this year.
And we also his rookie year. As productive as he was, he made very few impact plays, and that was one thing that he himself talked about extensively in the offseason, was he wanted to increase his playmaking ability, like a lot of other inside linebackers similar to his age, Patrick Willis and D'Amico Ryans and a lot of other guys like that. So John Beeson would be another. So when his second season came around and the plays weren't there, we're probably a little bit more down on him now than we were at this time last year, because as a rookie,
because I was pointing towards the Paul Perillo year two jump.
Yes, and evidently that's the only time you can improve as a player. So now it's over for him.
No, he's got at least six more years for that year 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 jump. Some guys jump right into the Hall of Fame.
Nobody exaggerates.
No exaggeration.
Andy Hart,
Andrew in the Ukraine. I thought it somewhat ironic that we potentially stole players right in front of three AFC competitors. McCarty from the Jets, Brandon Spikes, and best of all,
now it's McCarty,
tight end from the Ravens, not once, but twice.
Doctor was kind enough to put a sign, a pronunciation sign,
Nick
up next to you.
Court.
Court. When you have a litigation, you go to court.
I also think that Bill will try to keep two picks in the first round until he sees Brady's replacement.
We saw him this year, and he didn't go get him.
Unbelievable.
Sam Chise.
What's unbelievable?
His love affair with Sam Bradford.
Sorry, I have passion, Paul. I'm not just devil's advocate.
That's not passion?
I don't know.
It's a shtick.
G. Murray writes in. Love your show and comments. I'm a lifelong Pats fan from Haverhill, transplanted to Florida. I'm also a Gator fan as my daughter received her BA from there. Spikes and Tebow had a falling out last season. What do you think about his leadership now?
I
like him more.
Jumped up a few notches for Spikes.
Probably the only guy on the team that was willing to tell
Tebow
to shut the bleep up.
G. Murray, you got to give us more info than that. What was it about? When did it happen?
It's always about Tebow.
How come we haven't heard about this before?
Yeah. I mean, need to know. We're throwing.
I could see like one of those Manny Euculus things where, you know, Manny said, "Knock off that crap. You make us all look bad," and he took offense to it. And
that's Manny being Manny.
Behind
the
scenes, everybody agreed with Manny, but no one had enough guts to do it. Spikes had enough guts to do it. How's that sound? I had the whole thing all figured out.
Which, along those lines, a quick Ben Roethlisberger. I know Eric likes to talk Ben Roethlisberger. Everybody's ripping the Steelers because now we're hearing about all these stories about how he's such a DB Punk. And on off the field locker room. Teammates, bars, everything. He's just a bad guy, and they can't win with that.
So maybe Hines Ward was right?
By all accounts, he was a bad guy the entire time. All these stories are old,
right.
2, 3, 5 years old, and if I'm not mistaken, they won twice with that.
Right.
So they've proven they can win with his...
being a jerk?
Crap.
And I'll also say, for those of you who...
I'm not saying they will, or this year with the suspension, but they've
not
won
impossible.
With it all along.
And this is nothing new, by the way. And you know, I like all these stories coming out now, but... You know, those of you that listen to the PFW in Progress, remember last year when we were talking on the time when he had that concussion, we were very outspoken about how strange it was that his teammates weren't really rallying to his defense. And in Hines Ward's case specifically, not only not rallying behind him, but he was sort of throwing kerosene on the fire, making it worse. So clearly he's not been the most beloved figure in that locker room. I just think it's kind of weak that ESPN is trotting out all of these ex-Steelers, Najee Davenport and these
other
guys.
Oh, yeah. In the closet.
Yeah.
He's not exactly a model citizen.
I don't want to hear from these guys. You know, if you have stuff like Hines Ward to me,
well, how come
that's
when
a credible
the Patriots
story.
Say it, you guys make a big deal about it.
About what?
About
say
when
what?
They criticize the team. And
but what aspect of the team?
He took 5 minutes off to read that bottle of oatmeal, came back in, and didn't know exactly. So it goes to his old fallback. What just happened.
I'll give you an example.
He wasn't listening.
If
as usual.
What?
If Chad Jackson came back and said, the problem with the Patriots is Tom Brady. He's bigger than the team.
I would utterly dismiss
that.
Najee Davenport.
That's the example of Najee Davenport.
He's a notorious pooper.
Davenport's a bad guy who's done... all kinds of stuff to get himself in trouble.
Now, if Troy Brown
and he's
came,
questioning a two-time Super Bowl winner. Now, if
Troy
Brown
came
back
and said that, you'd
the
believe
problem
it.
Is Troy is Tom Brady is a problem in the locker room. I might step back and listen to that a
like
little.
Like Jerome
bit.
Bettis,
right?
Hell no.
He'd have to be in the locker room to be a problem in the locker room.
But
that's a separate argument.
But I think the Steelers right
it
now
is mansion.
These reports that outside the lines and stuff like that. I would find more if they could get me Hines Ward or. James Harrison, Lamar Woodley, the guys that are in the locker room with him now and how they... Troy Polamalu. I would like to hear what those guys have to say about Ben Roethlisberger as opposed to a journeyman running back who, you know, has been gone for 2 years.
Alex from Georgia got to say, I absolutely love what the Patriots did in the draft. I think they filled up some need positions, although I would have liked them to take a running back somewhere in the draft. That being said, I really look forward to the season to get here. Oh, and one other thing. This is to Andy.
Uh-oh.
How come he never mentioned about the heading of his article this past weekend? He always busts Eric's chops of being gay, yet the title of the blog was From the Heart, Guys I Still Want.
Yeah.
But From the Heart part made it even more gayer.
It was mentioned. It did not go unnoticed.
And it wasn't even like Bo Jackson and James Sanders on the list. It was other guys that I still want.
Huh?
And we did get a running back. Your
guys
Pascal. Is it Pascal or Pascal?
Pascal.
You sure?
Yes.
Did you check?
No.
No, you didn't. So don't tell me you checked.
Did you?
No.
Did you come up with your line yet?
But you know, we have to call our coaches to interview for our player profiles.
Yeah.
Not going to be getting the Rutgers position coach for whatever reason. They're kind of like here. They don't let their assistants talk.
Is that right?
In high school?
Oh, Saban does it.
Right.
That's
so,
real college, though. This is Rutgers.
True. It is high school.
I'm attempting to get the head coach on the phone. So when he calls, the first thing I'm just, you know, out of courtesy, I'm going to say to him is, by the way, coach, in Italian, it's pronounced Schiano. Now, as Devin McCourty is concerned.
He's going to be like, who the hell is this guy?
I'm going to hit click. Yeah. Hello? Hello, coach?
He's going to be like, yeah, Belichick coach? Warned me about you.
He actually didn't use a name. He just said, there's this guy. He's in a sweater. He's going to call you.
I tell you it's Scalavano, and you don't believe
me. Sweater.
I tell you it's Scalavano, and you don't believe me. In northern Italy.
You've never been to northern Italy.
I don't have to be from there to know.
You've never spoken Italian in your life.
The guy at the Olive Garden told him that's
I was born in Rhode Island, anyway.
Come sta, bene, right?
Come stai, bene.
Well, como sta is Spanish, I mean, in his defense.
Como sta usted?
You know I don't speak Spanish.
RJ from Vegas writes in, I still listen every week even though Fred doesn't read my emails anymore.
Why are you not reading RJ's emails?
I don't know.
What's he doing right now?
You guys have done an awesome job this offseason, and I look forward to next year with all of you. Even Eric, I'm just as cultified as Tim Tebow Scalavino.
What is cultified?
Tim Tebow Scalavino.
Cult following?
It's a groundswell of cults.
So these latest moves by the Jets have me thinking that they might be primed for a disappointing year based on the giant expectations lately. Seems like people are overlooking their flaws from last year based on their playoff performance, since it was the most recent memory in our minds. Not to take anything away from them, but they beat the Bengals and Chargers, not exactly teams with a rich history of performing in January. I still can't buy into Sanchez yet, at least for 2010, and the loss of Thomas Jones has been very overlooked. And now Leon Washington is gone, and he was a matchup nightmare for us. I really think the Jets are going to have a harder time scoring points than people think. They have upgraded their defense, but they already were number one. So how much better can they get? Dukas is a major projection, and I can't see him going from playing 1AA to starting in the AFC East, but I could be wrong. I think the Dolphins, Patriots, and Jets are somewhat... Dolphins, Patriots, and Jets are somewhat even right now, with the Dolphins a bit behind, and any of us could win the division. I don't understand how people just dismiss the fact that the Patriots dominated the Jets in late November, and the Jets also lost to the Dolphins in November. They went 2-4 in the division. They have tons of potential, but they also have potential to go 8-8, just my 2 cents. And am I correct in thinking that Jermaine Cunningham is the first defensive outside linebacker hybrid under the Belichick regime? Does this mean anything to you guys?
This high, taking that high, yes.
Yeah, I mean, Crable was too.
Justin Rogers, Sean Crable, Tully Bantakane.
Yeah, taken, but Vrabel was that guy too, right?
Crable. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying.
Vrabel
was a free agent.
It's a whole different thing.
I don't know if he meant taken in the
He's
draft.
Talking about
or,
draft, yeah.
Well, no, because then if you're going to go hybrid, his name's Adalys Thomas, and he was the highest priced free agent.
Or Roosevelt Colvin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
you know, there's a lot of them that they've signed as free agents. I think people around here are grossly overestimating the opinion that people have of the Jets. I think what the way RJ said that. Right now, I think the Patriots, Jets, and Dolphins are even. Well, that's a huge change from this time last year, because there isn't anybody who thought the Jets and Dolphins belonged in the same sentence as the Patriots at this time last year. So to say right now that they're even, I think is an unbelievable closure of the gap between the rest of the pack in the AFC East and the Patriots. I think everybody who's on the Jets right now, and I would put myself in this category, does so with a caveat, and that's... if Mark Sanchez plays a passable NFL level of quarterback. He did that early and late last year, and the Jets were successful. He didn't do that for the vast majority in the middle, and they were also rans, as the games that RJ pointed out. I don't think the Patriots dominated the Jets in that game, that they blew them out, but I think the difference in the game was one player, Mark Sanchez. He threw the ball to the Patriots 4 times. One of which was returned for a touchdown. Another one was returned inside the 10.
Certainly was the difference.
The difference in that game was one guy.
Right.
Freddie, did you see the Bodog Super Bowl numbers came out?
No.
After the draft, updated with free agency in the draft?
Yeah.
The Patriots are like, maybe Doc, you can get it. It was on one of the blogs.
Let me guess. Before, 16-1.
12.
Okay.
And I believe they're like fifth or sixth in the rankings.
Yeah.
As in terms of Super Bowl favorites.
Our Saints.
Now, where were
one?
The where were the Jets and the Dolphins? Were they in
the Jets,
similar?
I believe, are 10 to 1.
So similar spot.
I don't know where Miami was.
I bet you they were 16 to 1.
I got to tell you something. I'm getting a little more concerned about the Dolphins as the days go by here. I think they had a good draft.
They did.
And I think they had a similar draft as the Patriots, whereas I think they got some intriguing players at spots that were really helping.
They got rid of Porter, and they picked up Dansby, yeah. And that's a huge improvement in my mind.
Well, yeah, I think he's a much better player than Porter, but I always caution, you don't just throw a second-round pick like Jermaine Cunningham here. I don't want to just say that, well, they've addressed their pass rush.
We don't know yet.
The Dolphins have Koa Misi, who was the same kind of guy. I think it's going to take them a little while. I don't think they've, quote-unquote, addressed their Joey Porter, Jason Taylor departures with Koa Misi and Cameron Wake, who probably will play there.
He's making waves.
They also got that safety that I really liked out of Georgia there, Rashad, what's his last name, Johnson?
Jones. Yeah, I was thinking about a Johnson.
So, again.
But what about their quarterback play?
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing, Freddie. That's where I think the Patriots are still getting the respect of being as high as 10 or 12 to 1 to win the Super Bowl, is they have the guy that other teams don't. I think if you go top to bottom for rosters, I still think the Jets have more talent than the Patriots. But you can't ignore the quarterback difference. It's enormous.
Doc just handed me the coming in at top as far as odds is the Colts 8 to 1.
Okay.
Then the Saints 9 to 1. The Chargers at 10 to 1. They keep getting up there.
Chargers are good.
Actually, it's Chargers and Patriots both 10 to 1.
So the number one team is 8 to 1, and the Patriots are 10 to 1.
So we're tied for third.
Utter disrespect as usual.
We're tied for third. This is from who?
Bodog.
Bodog. Yeah. Then the Cowboys 11 to 1. Jets are 12 to 1.
Oh, so I flip flopped those.
So the Jets are behind us, and then three teams.
This is my point about. Wow. I think that people are drastically overestimating the passing of the torch in the minds of the fans.
Yeah, the Packers and Vikings are 14 to 1. Steelers and Eagles and Ravens are 18 to 1. So even the team that blasted the Patriots in the playoffs are 18 to 1.
Yeah. Who was number one? I think that's the Ravens? Most disrespectful thing because I think right now the Ravens have a better team.
How
than the
are the Steelers and Ravens tied? One made the playoffs a year ago, one didn't, and the one that didn't, his quarterback
troubles.
Is suspended for 6 games. That's ridiculous. And traded their best receiver. That just shows you that whoever made those has no idea.
50 to 1.
What are the Dolphins?
The Dolphins. Let me look for the Dolphins here.
Not even showing up? Not even in the NFL anymore.
30 to 1.
30 to 1, Miami.
I think that's if I was still into that sort of thing. RJ. If I was still into that sort of thing, I think that's a worthwhile $100.
Four teams are tied at the bottom, 100 to 1. The Bills, the Chiefs,
Jaguars,
the Rams, and the Buccaneers.
Oh, Jaguars even have Bills,
Jaguars are 70 to 1.
The Bills, the Chiefs.
The Rams and
the
Buccaneers.
And the Buccaneers are 100.
And who was one again?
One is Indy.
The Bucs should 8 be the one.
Indy over the Saints?
Indy over the Saints.
I like what the
Saints
Bucs
are
doing.
9 to 1.
Yeah, Sam Bradford doesn't automatically make the Rams a little better?
No, the Rams are a terrible, terrible team.
But Sam Bradford's great.
But they beat the
Bucs,
didn't
they? And
I
thought you gave the quarterback the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, after I see him play.
Prop bet. Will team...
Mark Sanchez was taken with the 6-pick last year.
Here's a proposition. Will Tim Tebow play at least one offensive down in week one? No. Yes is minus 150 and no is plus 120.
Yes. I'm going to say no.
At least
no.
One play?
No.
One offensive play?
In week one?
Yes.
No.
He will.
Josh is adamant that he's a quarterback and that's
it. I don't think he will. I don't think
Eric loses yet again.
They're going to be clamoring for him by mid-season, but he won't start the season.
Well, I didn't say he would start the season, but I think he'll play.
What quarterback goes in for one play?
I'm not going to put anything past Josh McDaniels with a lot of the questionable things he's done over there. I could see him trying to put quarterbacks in, doing all kinds of crazy things.
I could see him putting him in for a play. I don't see how it's going to go.
That's all I'm saying. He'll get at least one play because he'll get thrown in a rotational situation.
It was a question. You can answer yes.
I did.
Defensive.
I had my 5-hour energy.
No, what you didn't get was a Christmas present for the last 20 years.
I didn't finish my statement.
I almost
you cut
swore
me
there.
Off, Eric. I mean, that's rude. All right, that's going to be it for this edition
Very
of PFW
funny,
in Progress.
He's like the Grinch. His heart needs to grow 3 sizes.
Thanks for listening. All the emails, the phone calls. I know we had some, but Doc couldn't get them over to me.
Still have a guy in the
line. It's like 10 miles from the glass to where I am. It's tough to get the phone calls to me. But anyway, we'll see you on Thursday.
That puts the wraps on another PFW in progress.
Well, come on, guys. We gave it our best.
Wow, that was your best?
Patriots.com radio.
The best is yet to come.